Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout-out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carrie Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show. Today's broadcast honors the memory of my brother Donald Hines, and also celebrating his life and finding the strength to go on after suffering a great loss. We're going to have an awesome show. Stay with us.
Ooh, yeah. Lost touch with my soul. I had nowhere to turn. Had nowhere to go. Lost sight of my dream. Thought it would be the end of me. I thought I'd never make it through. I had no hope to hold on to. I thought I would break. I didn't know my own strength, and I crashed down. But I did not crumble. I got through all the pain. I didn't know my own strength. Survived my darkest hour. My faith kept me alive. I picked myself back up. Hold my head up high. I was not built to break. I didn't know my own strength. In my heart, I found the light to light my way out of the dark. Found all that I need here inside of me. Oh, I thought I'd never find my way. I thought I'd never live that way. I didn't know my own strength, and I crashed down,
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now, we have a very, very special guest with us today. He's from the world of music. You know him well. The Hair Radio Morning Show would like to welcome the one and only Mr. Tony Terry. Good morning.
Hey,
good morning.
Hey,
yes.
How are you? How's it going?
Well, I'm doing great. It is awesome to have you on the show. We
My
finally got
here.
You here. Yes. Awesome. Well, listen, this music, your music, has touched so many folks. I'm raising my hand right now, folks out there. It has. It really has. It resonates with everybody. You've been, you know, you really put the time in, and you've had a remarkable career. So we're going to get into all of that. I'm going to find out what you're doing now. We want to know everything, Mr. Tony Terry.
All right. Okay.
All right.
The unsung version.
There you go. And by the way, I've heard some of that, and I've watched a lot of this and done my little research and all that stuff, so we're ready. The first thing that that really jumps out at me, of course, everybody knows, you know, just one of your biggest hits, of course, was that amazing song With You.
Mm-hmm.
And but before we get there, I want to talk about the first album.
Okay.
Because
okay.
you had some hits on there.
I did. You know, it was really interesting, my journey to even putting out a first album, because I was... Let me give you the succinct version as tightly as I possibly can of what happened. So I had been in New York for a couple of years, and I had auditioned for the off-Broadway show Mom, I Want to Sing a few times and had gotten turned away. And the last time that I went, that I didn't want to go and didn't care if I was in the show at all at that point, of course, I made it.
Wow. You were probably in the version I saw, too.
Yeah.
I saw it one time.
Yeah. I was in with Deatra Hicks was playing.
Yes.
I was probably there. And,
wow.
And so I did that for a few years, and I was about to just kind of, you know, just go home, actually, back to D.C., and I had decided that enough, you know, it wasn't really going the way that I wanted it to, and I was going to go back to D.C. And so maybe a day or two before I was supposed to leave, one of my buddies was like, we're going to see this band. And he took me to the Danceteria, which I don't think is open in New York anymore. And there was this, the place was packed. And there was this band playing, and they were good. And, you know, I'm young and, you know, cocky probably. And I told him after the set, and he came to ask me, you know, what I thought of his band, and I told him I thought they were great, except they were missing something. And that something was me. And so he was like, okay, here's your time to shine. So I started singing maybe a Luther Vandross song or something in this packed basement of this club. And this gentleman turned around, who I had never met before, but it turns out he was Ted Currier. And Ted's claim to fame was Atomic Dog that he had produced and, you know, a whole – what, George Clinton stuff, and he was one of the first DJs, if not the first DJs, to do live dance mixes on in New York at 92 KTU.
Of course, KTU.
Yeah, back in the day. And but I didn't know all of that at this time. And so he gave me his card and asked me to give him a call, and I held on to his card. I didn't go back to D.C. I held on to his card maybe a week or so, and I called him late at night. I just, you know, figured that he was a musician like me and he was probably going to be working. And so I called him, and he was excited to hear from me, like, what took so long for me to call him? And he invited me to come over to a session he was working on. And I was in East Orange at the time. So I had I had to catch the bus to the path to the subway to 42nd Street, and then walk up.
See, and I understand that. And most of the folks in New York, New Jersey area, we know what you mean, and especially if you're in Jersey.
Right. It was a bit of a journey.
Okay,
so I finally get there, and I walk into the studio, and Ted has Parliament Funkadelic in there working.
Wow.
And I'm starstruck, mesmerized. You know, I hadn't seen anything like that before. I was a huge fan, I still am, of their work. A huge fan of their work. And but let me say this. I understood what funk music really came from. And I'm just going to be there.
All right. I kind of got that. Okay.
And so I met one of my boys there who actually, his name was Daryl Moe. Daryl Moe was a young musician at the time who was in the very first show that brought me from D.C. to the area, to New Brunswick, actually, Crossroads Theater, where we were doing Black Nativity. And after about 4 weeks in of rehearsal, this young man in the band came up to me and said, I don't know about these other cats, but you are a star. Wow. And I never thought about that before. I never even considered, you know, I was a part of this crew that had came up to New Jersey from D.C., you know, in pursuit of our careers, in pursuit of our dreams. And but to think that I was a star, I mean, I was in the ensemble. You know, to be picked out by anybody probably at that age and recognize that, you know, something as big as being considered a star would be like, wow.
That's huge.
Yeah, and something I had not even considered, even though I had been pursuing this thing of being an entertainer for a long time. Didn't never really think be a star. Just wanted to work.
Wow.
And so after the show was over, I started working with him, and we wrote my very first demo. It was called Don't Hold Back. And he and I, and he shopped it to Ted Currier. I played it for Ted Currier. Ted thought it was a great record, and then that started it. So I came down to the studio, and he had Parliament in there, and he said, Daryl said, Ted, if you put my boy in the booth, you'll fire all them jokers. You know, he's like, typical New Yorkerican kind of energy.
Yeah.
And so Ted was like, really? Well, let's see. And I'm thinking, really? Seriously, Daryl? And so he puts me in the booth, sure enough.
And you were ready.
And I was ready, and he did fire the Parliament. And I did end up doing that project for the Boogie Boys on Capitol Records called Survival of the Freshest. And it was actually the first R&B album, I mean, the first rap record that incorporated R&B hooks. It started that whole thing. And
that's amazing.
I mean, at the time, I didn't realize it was so amazing.
That is.
I didn't.
Wow.
And so while I was recording, Ted's wife says, Tony, she spoke a lot like Michelet. Tony.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
His real little mousy voice.
Yeah, no more lies. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, we know her well.
You know, really small voice, and she has to come in and sing for this group of people that were in one of the rooms. And I didn't think to be nervous. I was already in there recording. I didn't know who they were, so I didn't have a problem walking into the room and singing, you know, a song for them. And so I did, and it turns out that those people were management at Capitol Records, and they offered me a deal right away. Seven
wow.
albums.
Holy cow.
So
that's unheard of. That's astounding.
I know.
It kind of was unheard of then. I mean, seven.
It was unheard of then. And,
absolutely.
Which, again, I wasn't, I didn't know that I was auditioning. So I wasn't nervous. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't anxious. I was warmed up. I was ready for this. And that's what happened. And so the gentleman who would be responsible for me in terms of A&R was fired soon after I was signed. And their intention was for me to delve into Nat King Cole's catalog and record and, you know, restructure or find some of these classics. And I was 19, 20, so I didn't
because he was the main Capitol big-time artist.
But
wasn't
I was
he?
Ignorant
yeah,
he
yeah.
built Capitol Records.
Right, exactly.
And I was ignorant to that fact at that time.
Wow.
And I was just not interested in recording Nat King Cole's catalog. Now, in retrospect, I think that probably would have been a good idea to consider. I don't know what it would have been, but, you know, at least to give it a shot. But I wasn't really – I didn't think that I had enough – you know, I was like, Nat King Cole, come on. I was 19. So you can imagine. I just was not in the Nat King Cole frame of mind.
Well, listen, it took Natalie a while herself to record Nat King Cole, to tackle
right.
Nat King Cole's music, so I can understand
right.
that.
But now, you know, I can hear it. Mona Lisa.
Oh, yeah.
Mona Lisa, men have named you. I can hear it.
Wow.
But then I couldn't.
Amazing.
And so the guy was fired, and he was rehired at Epic.
Oh.
His name is Don Grierson, and he convinced Epic to buy my contract from Capitol before
wow.
I even sang a note.
That is amazing.
It's like, wow, so all this money, all these – you know, is it really that much money? Did they really pay that much money to buy me from them
wow.
in terms of my contract? Because when you say
right.
buy me, it kind of sounds a little weird. But
no, we
contract,
get it. Wow.
Buy my contract. And, yeah, so when I was moved over to Epic, I was there with Michael Jackson, Luther Vandross, Tina Marie.
Wasn't that Sony, or didn't it become Sony or something?
Yeah, it was Sony.
Sony
Epic, and they also had Columbia. At the time, they had Mariah Carey on the other side on the Columbia
oh
side.
Oh, my God.
So it was like,
amazing.
This guy, they have signed me, and then once they had me over there, they didn't know what to do. Like, well, okay, we got him now. What? Now what? And it turns out that the head of the A&R department at Epic was Johnny Gill's godfather. And all he talked about was Johnny Gill all day, every day. And so...
Okay.
It was clear that I was not going to get his full attention.
You weren't
going to
be, right. Yeah.
And then we put out She's Fly, and it caught everybody by surprise. No
wow.
one expected it. And there was like, okay, we see something, but not
wow.
sure what yet. And then it was Lovey Dovey. And
well,
know,
She's Fly was a huge, like you said, a huge, huge hit. Top 10 hit.
It was. And... but they still weren't convinced. The label wasn't convinced. And somebody's calling me. I should have had my phone on Do Not Disturb. I'll call them back. I will ignore them.
That's okay.
Anyway,
that's all
anyway,
right.
So it just went on, you know. So we had three singles off of the first album. She's Fly, Lovey Dovey, actually four, and Forever Yours, which was the title cut.
Yes.
And then we had, I believe, Young Love was on that first album as well. And
Lovey Dovey charted even higher than
it did.
She's Fly, so that's amazing.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. Okay, so now it's time for the second album. And the first
But were you nervous, though? Because everybody always says about the sophomore thing, or what is it, the sophomore slump thing and this and that.
You know when they say ignorance, ignorance is bliss. I didn't know anything about all of that. I did know it as it related to theater, because usually opening night is the adrenaline.
I never knew that it related to theater. That's amazing.
Because usually the night after opening night is, they call it after opening night blues. because the second night is usually not nearly as good as the opening night.
Wow.
And then it picks
Thank
up.
You
the
educated me. Thank you. Oh, you really have, and I appreciate that. Yeah. I'll tell you why later.
Yeah. It's time to choose the first single from the second album, which was self-titled, was Head Over Heels. And it was time to choose the second single, and I had chosen With You. And the label didn't agree. They called me in for a meeting.
I can't believe they didn't agree. But
they did not
agree.
I mean, they were pretty I wouldn't say forceful, but you know, they stood where they stood. They didn't think it was
a
good idea. And I just wouldn't let it go. I was like, Nope. I think it should be With You. And they couldn't, and in fact, I remember clearly hearing the president at the time of the label say, "Tone, only Stevie Wonder could get away with a song like this." I was like, "Yeah, okay, well, let's just see." And so they put it out. But I think that in an effort to teach me a lesson, they put out With You with you know, back in the day, there was a whole setup. You know, there was a rollout for a single or an artist, you know, the whole setup thing, which did not happen for With You. And it was also
like the promotion that goes along with it when the record is released.
Didn't happen.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. And when they, you know, your promotion, your marketing team that actually services radio, which happens on usually one day a week, and if you can imagine back in the day, there were 40 or so major labels. So you have 40 reps from those labels going to, let's say, WBLS, and they probably have only 5 slots for new singles this week. But you got 40 people vying for those 5 slots. Okay. So my record was serviced to radio with no information on it.
It was a
blank label, which to me would have made it stand out even more, because you're getting a plain label, unmarked vinyl 12-inch single from Epic Records. What could that be? And you don't put anything on
it. It might have worked in favor.
I believe it did, because then With You started to live. It starts out without any support from them. There was not going to be a video. There was none of that. And then one day happened to walk into my manager's office, and the phone was ringing, and our receptionist had gone to the bathroom or something. I don't know. She wasn't there. And I answered the phone, and it was Anita Baker. She was looking for me. And I didn't
Superstar
know Anita Baker.
Anita Baker was calling herself.
She was like, "This is Anita Baker, and I'm looking for Tony Terry." And I'm thinking, get out. First of all, just couldn't possibly be Anita Baker.
Had you guys worked together or anything?
I did not know her.
Wow.
Had never met her before. Had never even had a conversation with her before that moment.
Wow.
And I was a fan of hers, but, you know,
I didn't
know her.
Yeah.
So she called, and I honestly did not believe that I was speaking to Anita Baker. But I went along with it. Okay, but it would have made sense, because she was calling my office, and actually our receptionist would have taken the call, and then it probably would have gone to my managers, and then maybe gotten.
It would have gone to a few folks, right?
Yeah. But I got the call, and
wow.
And then she was like, "Tony, this is Tony." I was like, "Yeah, this is Tony." And she said, "I was awakened last night, one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard in my life." And I had done The Party Machine, which used to come on after the Arsenio Hall show.
I think I remember that.
Yeah. And she said, "What is going on?" And I was like, "Well, first of all, thank you for, you know, calling." I still wasn't sure, convinced that I was talking to Anita Baker, but I went on to tell her that, you know, I appreciated the phone call, and, you know, thank you for, you know, enjoying the music, and there was not going to be a video because the label didn't think it was a hit. And she was like, "What? Those people wouldn't know a hit if it hit them in the forehead." And she made another comment. I don't know if I should repeat it, but I'm going to say it because she said, "I'm on the label with Keith Washington, and Keith could not shine your shoes."
Okay, we might, Keith, might, if you're out there listening, Keith, we still love you.
he's one of my boys.
Nice,
I understand
yeah.
What Miss Wade
yeah,
said
no,
to me.
No, we,
and I thought, wow.
Absolutely.
And she said, you know, why? I don't understand. And so, listen, Tony, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you $50,000. And I want you to shoot the video. I need to see a video. And I was like, what?
Wow.
What am I supposed to, like, how do I pay you back? How do we do this? She's like, don't even worry about it. Just blow up. Just be the star that you are. Just be the star that you are. And, you know, and then the check came certified for $50,000. And she said she was going to call Blair Underwood because she wanted him to direct. Turns out With You was his directorial debut. And he was in it, and it was. If you've seen the video, it's because
seen it. We've worn it out.
Because you know, I call her my guardian angel. Because, and you know what's really interesting? Because moving forward, 25 years, the Monique Show, which was being recorded here in Atlanta at the WB, I think it was, and I had been on as a guest and performed and. And we had heard that Anita Baker was coming, and my mother-in-law is and was a huge fan, and of course so are we. So I contacted the show and told them I wanted to come back and, you know, be in the audience when she came, and they put us on the front row. And so she comes out and she sings her song, you know, and she's all into it. She got her eyes closed, and just at the end of the song, she sings, "Sweet love, don't you ever go away." And she opens her eyes, and we make eye contact, and she sees me, and I can see her recognize me. I saw that in her in her expression. And then they cut to commercial, and she calls Monique over, and they clearly are having a conversation that I would think was about me because they were looking at me. And, you know, and so it comes back from the commercial break, and Monique says, you know, during the commercial break, Miss Baker told me this story about, you know, giving this brother here, this young man, Tony Terry, and she introduced me, you know, $50,000 to shoot the video for With You. And then she asked Miss Baker, why did you do that? And she said, I was being obedient to the spirit. I was compelled to do it. And I thought, wow.
I'm speechless. That's amazing.
I thought, wow. You know, to hear the spirit speak to you, and then you move because you felt like you didn't have a choice. You had to do it, or that you would be, you know, not, you know, disobeying, you know, whatever it was. She felt compelled to do so. And I was really moved by it. She never wanted anything back. She just wanted to honor what she was led to do. It was on her spirit to do so, and she did it. And I just thought that was really a powerful thing. And then, of course.
That's amazing. That's huge.
And then when With You began to, you know, live, and the video was out, and, you know, started moving up the charts, and then, of course, the label was like, oh, yeah, we knew this was a brilliant artist from the very beginning, you know? And then I'm looking at them like, I know you didn't just say
that. That is funny.
And it was then that I learned, or quickly, about the politics, because at that point, even though they had zero interest in the record, I had to let them claim, you know, the responsibility
for
its success, because, you know, if I didn't, if I had made a big stink about it, then, you know, it's politics. And it's an ego-driven business. And, you know, okay, all right, y'all did it. I'm so glad I'm signed with Epic. Two thumbs up.
Well, that song, I'm just still blown away by the fact that they could not detect that. Well, how can you be an A&R or this or that or whatever it was, a music executive, and without, you know, just not having that little certain something? I mean, I don't understand that.
It didn't fit the song structure of the day.
Of what they had.
It was different. And, you know, the chorus didn't repeat the way choruses typically do on R&B records.
Right.
And I wasn't necessarily, while I was singing my face off, or at least I thought I was, it wasn't in the traditional R&B kind of way.
It wasn't formulaic, which is, you know, to them, you know, so
I thought it was, you know, just not a good move to do, and then it turned out to be like it overshadowed
an amazing
everything.
Which has stood the test of time.
Yeah, I mean, people, when I sing songs like, you know, Lovey Dovey or She's Fly or Head Over Heels, people are like, oh, I forgot he sang that song.
Exactly.
You know?
But once you hear it, exactly.
Right. You know, With You came in and just took over. And then all of a sudden, I was this balladeer.
I'm
a crooner.
That song, I could play it like literally a good 3 times in a row. I mean, I just love it so much. And just like all of our, you know, our listeners out there, this is something that's really huge. And, you know, I was watching, I think you did a piece with someone, and it just hit me because these songs really, when people say, and I know, you know, we get a chance to have a lot of wonderful artists like yourself to come on the show, but when we say that our lives are really shaped by your music, we really need it.
And it's not something that I take for granted. I have been asked to sing at homegoing services. To sing with you. And I'd be like, well,
really?
It's a little bit weird.
Wow.
And then they would say, this was the song that I sang to my child when my child was a baby. And, you know, it was our favorite song. And so then I felt, then it gave it a whole kind of weight. And, you know, I know that honestly has nothing to do with me. I say to God be the glory because.
Exactly.
You know, I recognize that to have the ability to affect people on an emotional level is spiritual. And that does not come from me. It comes through me. And I'm just grateful that I was gifted in such a way that I can affect people. And it's humbling. It's not something that swells me up with pride. It actually is humbling that, you know, that I have it and I'm grateful. And I always say to God be the glory.
Well, Tony, I have to say, just even in you telling the story, I was like, no, I'm thinking to myself, I would have been so upset, you know, just the fact that we might not have heard that record. Like, that is enough to just, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to get over that. But that really tells you a lot, you know, so. Folks, if you're just joining us, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now, today we have a very special guest with us today. As you know, we always bring you the very latest with some of the amazing artists that are out there. And today absolutely is no exception. Mr. Tony Terry is with us, and we are just so pleased. Good morning again, Tony, and again, welcome to the show.
Again, thank you for having me, Kerry. I love it.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
refreshing when interviewers kind of know how to interview because, you know, you have not asked one typical question yet, and I like that.
Oh, you're very kind. Well, I appreciate that. You know, I really do. I have to tell you, and just even kind of going back a little bit, one of the things that kind of got to me a little bit, I saw something where you had indicated that, like, when you kind of were starting out, and you were working, I used to work, like, I'm from, you know, Jersey and Philly and New York and Jersey and all that stuff. So I was aware of the summer youth employment folks. In fact, they still owe me a certificate award to this day. But I remember them, and I heard something, and you had worked for them as well, which kind of was your unofficial paying start in the industry.
Yeah,
and I just love that story so much.
Yeah,
so please tell us a little bit more about that because that's how you got started.
It is. You know, I was one day watching television and this super exciting show came on called Fame about a high school of performing arts. And, you know, there were artists, they were dancers dancing in the hallway. There were musicians practicing, you know, on the lawn outside. There were actors working on scenes. There were visual artists painting on the walls inside the school. And there were singers, you know, having voice lessons. And I thought, wow, you can do that in school? And it took a minute to process. And then I found out that there was a school like that in D.C., the Duke Ellington School of the Arts.
Amazing.
And the first year I asked my mom, could I audition? Because we didn't live in D.C., we lived in Maryland, in Landover, Maryland. And it would have meant a commute. And the first year I asked my mother, she said, no.
Oh, my.
I mean, wow. Unequivocally, no. but what? No. Okay. Because I said so. It was one of those. And and so I didn't. But the next year, I went and auditioned, and I was so green. I had never auditioned before for anything. And I didn't know how to audition. And I thought that I would take a record with me. And I had an album of Jeffrey Osborne.
Oh.
And I was going to sing along with it. That was going to be my audition. That's how green I was.
Wow.
No one told me how to audition for anything. So I go into Duke Ellington and for my audition, and I say, okay, where's the record player? They were like, that's not how we do it. And so I was like, well, how do you do it?
Wow.
And so they asked me if I had a song prepared, and of course I did. And I sang it, and I just happened to sing it a cappella, and they let me in.
Well, I have to say, that is amazing.
They let me in, and I was terribly excited, and then I told my mother I auditioned.
What did she say?
She actually, after I auditioned, I told her, I said, Mom, I'm going to Duke Ellington this year. And she said, oh, okay. Like, I probably said it with, you know, like, I'm sure I said it with so much confidence because I was already in.
Right.
And I knew that, you know, like, my parents had supported me my whole life. And they knew that it was, you know, that singing was a passion for me. And so she didn't resist. And I was surprised that she didn't resist. But it meant that I was going to have to stay with my aunt in D.C., which she welcomed me with open arms. With
that
her three other children in the hood, in the very seed of the scornful.
Wow.
She didn't lose any one of us. Nobody ever went into the system. Nobody ever got in trouble. Nobody ever. So she became this iconic person in the hood because no one messed with her children because they respected her.
I love that. Well, I've got to tell you. Oh, Joe, you go ahead, please.
Yeah. So I went in. I got to Duke Ellington, and it was the best time. It was the time that I learned. You know, we had a longer than normal school day, and we would do academics during the day, and then we would focus on our particular arts in the afternoon. And you know, it was then that I learned about, you know, 8-hour rehearsals and longer. Getting it until we get it right. We're going to do it until we get it right. And then the opportunity to audition for and do the street theater, which Mike Malone, one of the founders of the Duke Ellington School of the Arts, also ran by way of the D.C. Youth Employment Program under Marion Barry, who the city, if he was alive today, he could probably be mayor now if he was alive.
Yeah, it didn't even circle back again after some issues and things.
He did.
Wow.
And when he passed away, it was, you know, they shut the city down just to honor him.
Yeah, that was huge. Yeah.
It was huge.
I remember
it was
that.
Huge.
Yeah.
And so that was the start. And I mean, and then at the end of my, which I was able to do 2 years of before I cycled out in terms of my age, and Mike Malone, who was one of the founders of the Duke Ellington School, along with Peggy Cooper Kafritz, who were also professors at Howard University, he came to me and he put his hand on my shoulder. I will never forget. And he said, you're ready.
Wow.
You're ready. And you can go. You go to New York with my blessing because you're ready. And I thought, wow, I got Mike Malone's stamp of approval. I mean, that means I'm really ready.
And now, let me tell you something. Let me tell you, Tony Terry, it is not easy to get even into the high schools. I myself, real quick, I'm going to just jump right on here to tell you. But no, I applied to the high school. They had just opened the Performing Arts High School in Philadelphia.
Right.
My audition, I was so nervous that I screwed it up. So I never got in. So I just, when I hear stories and folks like you and you know, and Jasmine Sullivan went to the one in Philadelphia. And so it just stays with me so very much. So I love, and I know exactly what you're talking about. Because
yeah,
I really, but
by,
I love
by
that.
Being green and not being ready and nervous.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, I was
the whole thing.
Staring at the staring at the clock on the back of the
amazing.
Room, at the wall, just trying to get through it, all of that.
Yeah, and I keep hearing Debbie Allen. What was that line? Right
sweat
here.
It starts here with sweat. And
that
it does.
That line, really? Wow.
And, listen, and then I found out that Fame, the TV show, while it was set in New York, was actually
uh-huh.
based on what was going on at Duke Ellington.
No, you're kidding me. I never knew
no,
that.
No, I'm not. Debbie Allen was a teacher at
wow.
Duke Ellington School of the Arts.
Really?
Yeah.
Hold it. Is that right?
That's absolutely
wow.
100%, yes.
That says
was.
It all. Full circle. That's amazing. I did see Leroy, the one that played Leroy, God rest his soul, he passed away, but I remember seeing him out in Los Angeles. I remember hanging out one day. I saw him out there. But
he was
very talented all the way through.
And a live wire. A live wire.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you say, Tony Terry, to these folks, you know, to the youngsters who are coming up? And have you had a chance to work with the, you know, the upcoming talent?
Some, you know, actually, that's really, really a good question because I have mixed feelings about encouraging people to enter this business, especially young females, because it is an ego-driven business, and mostly men and women, especially young girls, are taken advantage of more so than not, and they will go as far as to get to the threshold of success. And then nothing. And then they're left to pick up the pieces of their lives and move on and mend it, pull it together and find something else to do when you realize that your dream of being a star is not going to happen. And it's heartbreaking, but it happens more than you could imagine. There was a young lady that was trending recently that was shining a light on a lot of things in the music business. And I do not know her. Jaguar Wright.
Oh, okay.
But
we've seen her name.
A lot of the things that she said had some validity
to
them.
Wow.
It's really real. And
and she tells,
you know,
it like it is. Let me just, for those of you who have not heard of her yet, and a lot of folks have, she really puts
yeah.
it on out there. But
straight no chaser.
Yeah,
great
she really. That's all I'm gonna say. So, but it's good to know that there's some credence to it, right?
Absolutely. I would not want to I would not want to release my 14, 15, 16 year old daughter into the hands of, you know, anybody, and not be there.
Well, you know, but can we say that back in the day, we just weren't aware of these things. You know, we just heard of an opportunity, and
right.
you all, you know, and you would have to think that you're almost, you know, I hate to say, but some of those, you know, the parents, you know, they're getting all this money and stuff. They might have had
yeah.
felt that they needed to turn a blind eye or whatever they call
yeah.
it. You know, it's just heartbreaking, the whole thing,
It is heartbreaking, and, you know, for years and years and years, that kind of thing has gone on. And it's, you know, no one has said anything And not only the parents have turned a blind eye because they might get a check for $50,000, which might be way more than they even make in a year. Which, you know, $50,000 to someone who has nothing is a lot of money. But $50,000 to someone who has money is nothing.
Right, exactly.
And so, you know,
so
money,
you were
money,
reluctant, you know.
I would be reluctant because, you know, I know that, like, a young female artist is really, 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 really tough. And I can't even stress it enough, you know, and I would suggest, you know, never ever to be in a room alone with men if you're by yourself. I would suggest never drinking in public because, you know, you don't know what somebody can slip into your drink. I would suggest never smoking in public if that's something that you like to do. Do it in the privacy of your own home, in your own space where you're safe, because people generally in this business are not so nice.
Wow. Well, you heard it right from Mr. Tony Terry, recording artist superstar. Wow.
And it's a hard pill to swallow because it's a business that I love. It's a business that I love and still have passion for it. And, you know, want to, you know, I've been fortunate in that I've been able to continue working, but not for lack of working hard because I put in my time, I put in my effort, and it's always about growing and improving and evolving and never thinking that I know it all. And I'm willing to learn.
Well, you have the best disposition I've talked to in a long time when it comes to the music business, I have to tell you. Tony, I do want to ask you about one thing that entered my mind, and that is the acting part. Now, how did you kind of make that bridge across from the music over to the acting and then kind of merging the two with maybe the, you know, like Mama, I Wanna Sing and all that kind of stuff? How did that come about with the acting?
Well, it actually happened in reverse. It started with the acting. I mean, I grew up singing in church, but you know, I was trained in musical theater, and you know, acting and singing to combine
goes together. Right?
I didn't know that it was going to be the music that would catapult me into, you know, the hearts and minds of people. Because again, for me, it was just about having the opportunity to share. I always call it sharing because it's sharing. It's sharing, you know, with people, the music, the experience. And I just didn't know how it was going to happen. I never really thought about it. I just wanted to be ready for whatever it was. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. But what crosses my mind, see, back in the day, I remember quite often, if you came out as a singer, if that's for you, you kind of blew up from that, then, you know, I don't know whether it was the public thing or the executives or whatever, they wanted to only pigeonhole. That's all that you got to do was to, you know, to sing. Or if you start as an actor, then that was it, and they knew you know, you blew up, that was it.
You couldn't be a singer if you're an actor.
You could not.
Right.
You could not.
Right. And you couldn't be a gospel singer if you're an R&B singer.
Exactly.
And Aretha Franklin was just kind of like, you know, she just broke the mold because she decided that, you know, I'm a singer. I grew up in a church. You can't really tell me what I can't sing.
I don't know how they could ever tell Aretha anything. Aretha was Aretha.
Right.
She was Miss Aretha, let me tell you. But I'll tell you, I really, and it shocks me because to me, artists are not usually one-trick pony type folks.
Right.
You know, a lot of folks who are so creative and so talented, they're talented across the spectrum usually.
Yeah.
And so so these days we get to see that a lot more.
Yes. Well, you know, I think that has a lot to do with, one, the whittling down of all of the major industry. You know, there's now probably now four major labels.
And
pretty much everybody we know has a smartphone and a laptop, and you can get it done in your living room. Anybody can be a producer, if you will, or at least they think they can. Not understanding that, you know, the most successful ones are studied and they know what they're doing.
Absolutely.
And it's not by chance. But you know, people decide that they want to pluck away, and then sometimes they come up with some magic. Magic is happening. And with the internet, you have access to the world, just like any major label. And so it kind of levels the playing field in a whole lot of ways. I remember in the 80s, my manager telling me, Tone, it's going to be digital. I'm telling you, it's going to be digital.
Really?
And I'd be like, okay, Bob, I hear you, man, but you have to keep saying it like that.
Well, but that's amazing, though. Back in the 80s, they knew?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. He was like, you better be ready. Better get on board.
Wow.
Better get on board early.
Wow. So these days, because of that, a lot of, you know, way back when you had to shop, you know, demos and this and that to, you know, every label, you know, from here to L.A. Nowadays, like you said, you could basically just kind of put your cell phone out there.
Yeah, you can.
You know, across social media.
It's about money. You absolutely can. There have been many people that have succeeded just because they were on Instagram or they just, you know, and their video went viral or something. And you know, there are also artists. You know, the world is bigger than the United States, and that's what the internet brings to you. It brings you the entire world. I know of artists that have sold 100 million records, and we've never heard their record one time, not once.
That is amazing.
In America, but, you know, they're living large, doing well, succeeding, and we know nothing about it. And there are lots of stories like that.
Wow. You are very inspirational. Folks, let me just bring everybody up to speed here. You know, thank you so much for being part of this, Mr. Tony Terry. You guys, we're listening to the one and only Mr. Tony Terry. He is a music superstar, and we are so honored. Now, I want to talk about your current project. I want to hear all about your new single, what's going on. Tell our listeners.
Right before COVID started, I signed a new recording deal, and it's been actually very stressful from that
Congratulations,
moment.
Congratulations, too,
well,
by the way.
Thank you. However, before I signed my record deal, I'm a recording artist, so I'm always recording. And so I recorded this song called Born to Love You, and I just kind of put it in the pile of other things that I recorded. I'm my own worst critic. So one of my brothers, he tells me all the time, he's like, Tone, man, Your worst work is better than a whole lot of people's best work. You got to stop being so hard on yourself. You got to really kind of like loosen up a little bit. But you know, I am a bit of a, I wouldn't say a perfectionist, but you know, I want it to be right. I want it to feel right. And so I recorded Born to Love You and just kind of put it in the pile. And then I started addressing this new record deal that had been presented to me, and I'm spending a lot of energy getting this record deal worked out, negotiating it. And in the meantime, I had asked one of my partners who owns the label if he thought this particular record was a hit. And he called me back within 30 seconds. He was like, man, not only is it a hit, but I got you, I want to put it out on my label. And
wow.
So on a handshake, I gave him, you know, a small percentage of the publishing. And he went running with it, and it turned into a hit record for me. And I was over here trying on one side, negotiating to the point of just absolute frustration. And on the other hand, I have a record over here that's taking off, and I didn't even realize it was happening because I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't paying attention.
This is unbelievable. And I became Born to Love You.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
And so it turns out the record deal I walked away from and Born to Love You, I started putting all my energy in and then to the next situation that we're about to release two singles now with the same company, my brother Adrian Meeks at Song Source Music Group. I have two singles, one called Your Love Is All I Need, which is a very powerful ballad, and then another one that's kind of puts you in the mind frame of Marvin Gaye's Inner City Blues, Make You Want to Holler, and it's called Brighter Day, and it speaks about you know what's happening, and the chorus suggests that if they would just know your name, then I know that you would release us from these chains. So we talk about, you know, just recognizing who our source is and where the power of love comes from. And if we could, as a collective, do that, then a lot of the problems that we have could kind of absolve themselves.
That's right. That's right. But folks don't see so clearly as that, I don't think.
No. It's an idealist concept.
Yes. But a good one.
But at least but when you plant the seed, though, you got to plant the seed.
Exactly.
For people to at least start thinking about it.
This is true.
And some people don't even understand that, you know, they might hear a song. Have you ever heard a song that you didn't like, and then you hear it so much that you start singing it?
Yes. Well, in the old days, especially, yeah.
Yeah, and so the seed is planted.
Right.
And then it starts to take root, and then before you know it, you're bobbing to that concept that you couldn't stand 2 weeks ago.
That's right. or you hear it years later, and you love it then.
Right. Yeah.
Usually.
I have a specific situation that has happened. In 2001,
yeah.
I released an album. And the single that we released, which has a weird title called Freaky Little Game, we could not get arrested with that record. I mean, nobody was even interested in even hearing it. And then I went back to D.C. years, 20 years later. I mean, it was 2020 now. We're talking about 2000. So this was just a couple of years ago when I went back. And I went to a club, and the band was playing my song.
That is
that
unreal.
That particular song. And I was like, well, how is it that y'all are playing this song? And he said, bruh, every band in town plays this song. What? How is that possible? How is that possible that every band in town plays this song? They're like, this song is so dope. I couldn't even believe it. And until I saw it for myself. So when I played City Winery in D.C., and I had prepared to perform the song. And when I did, the whole energy of the building shifted. I couldn't understand it. I'm like, well, when I put this record out back in 2000, y'all weren't interested. What happened? what happened?
Is that not something you see?
Yeah.
That's right.
It's amazing.
Or you listen with new ears later. Or I don't even know if you can describe how, you know, what that
is. I'll take it.
Exactly. Well, I'm loving it. Well, listen, I have to say, first of all, Tony, now, you have just been just doing some huge things. You've always done huge things. You've never fallen, like, in my opinion, fallen off and, you know, just forget all about music and all that. You stayed with it. And you really have, and just, you have a legacy. And so this is amazing, and that's, you know, that's very moving. So I just want to thank you on my behalf, and, you know, and all the listeners that we have out there, just for what you're doing, you know, because we try to get you guys on. We love that you all are still, you know, very much, you're still relevant. Let me just put it that way, because that's the word everybody's using these days.
Yeah, you know, it's about, you know, when you say relevant and, you know, reinventing, along with signing the New Deal, I started doing, because soon after the COVID thing struck the country and our calendars were cleared, I started needing something to do. And I started singing on my Facebook page. Initially I titled it Chilling at the House, Just Like Everybody Else. Every Tuesday, I was there. I'm chilling at the house just like everybody else. And then it turned into Tony Terry Tuesday. And since March, every Tuesday, I go online at 9 o'clock on my fan page, and just for an hour. Sometimes it goes 2 hours, just depending on how I feel. And just music, classics, Tony Terry songs. And it has become this thing that became way bigger than I even ever thought about it being. You know, one occasion we had 90,000 people watching live. And for me, that was huge.
That is huge.
Because when I first started, you know, I would have 100, 150 people, you know, for the first few weeks and for it to grow into this thing that has, you know, become so important to the people that come in and check me out every Tuesday, it's just been amazing. So it started out as therapy for me and turned into something that was therapeutic for my fans, and they would call me and or send inbox me and say, you know, I lost a relative today and your performance tonight is, you know, pulled me through it. And, you know, I mean, those kinds of things make it bigger than me. So even when I don't even feel like going on, I go on because I know that it's bigger than me and it's not about me, and that I'm being of service to in the little way that I can. Like the little drummer boy, all he had was his drums. All he had, that's all he had to offer. What I have is my voice. And if it helps and if it provides just a moment of a distraction, of comfort, then, you know, that's a blessing for me.
You are just one of the most grounded individuals I think we've chatted with in a very long time here on this show. I'm just blown away, Tony Carey. I really am. Very, very grounded. I'm taking that you have a great balance with home life and professional world, which is awesome. You know, you have to be, just to be so, just, I just the humility. It's great.
Well,
I'm just,
the people that I hang around with, Do not mind checking me, as I don't mind.
They let you know if you get a big head.
and as I don't mind checking them.
No, I love it. I love it. It works both ways.
Yeah, it does. And you know, I've always charged. I've always believed that friendship comes with responsibility, and because of that, I have a small network of friends that we hold each other accountable, and we pour into each other. Otherwise, I can't imagine why we would be friends. Like if we're not bringing something of value to each other, at the end of the day, if my interaction with you does not make me better in some way, then I'm kind of wasting my time. And so, therefore, I have to put you in the acquaintance pile, and the friendship pile.
Exactly.
You know, has to, because friendship is a gift, not only from you but from the other person that you receive it from. It's a gift. And that comes with something. That means something. And a lot of people take it for granted. So, you know, my grounding, I think, comes from, you know, my family. Like, my mom has no problem telling me to take the trash out and bust them suds in the kitchen. No problem at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you have that, you know, you can't help but just
be. You can't help but be grounded.
it takes a lot of energy to keep an ego inflated. And I would just rather, it's easier to just, you know, be who I really am.
Now, I want to ask you about some shout-outs. I have to, of course, shout out the amazing David Pick-Gondley for helping to make some connections. Just awesome. From, you guys know him, and he's been on our show from Surface. Now we know that you guys might be doing some things, and I'm not going to ask him just what or anything, because it may not be ready yet, or you may not be ready to talk about it, but whenever, okay, well, yeah. Are you able to give us a little, you know, a little bit of some of the details on it just yet, or you want to come back?
Well, I mean, Pick asked me if I would sing some of their songs over for a project that he was doing. He was going to re-record his songs, but, you know, he's a flautist. And
yes,
he was intending to re-record the songs, and he asked me if I would sing the hook. And I did. And when we started laying them down, it just felt like, so I just said, you know, hey, let me take a pass at the lead. And when I did, he was like, you know, we have to go ahead and record that, right?
That's it, exactly. Wow.
And we did, and it turned out to be the beginning of what would be Resurface. And that is me singing those great songs with Pick. And I'm just honored that he would have me, you know, to do them. I'm honored that he is, you know, wants me to do them, and they sound great. And so Shower Me With Your Love is the first song that we've done. It's finished. And then we're going to do
Song.
Only you
can make me happy.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. And then we're also doing, where I'm going to feature pick on my project, is I've never been interested in doing this before, is to re-cut with you.
Wow.
But I heard this absolutely brilliant production that Pick came up with for a relaunch of the song that made me say I have to do it. I would just as soon leave well enough alone. There's no need to bother it. But this production says, let's get her done. And so we're going to do that.
Well, you heard it right here first on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So I'm so honored. I really am. And is there anyone that you would like to shout out to?
Well, I mean, you know, just my crew, who have been loyal and helping keep things together. We've developed some really important things. We're taping a new show called Conversations with Kings, and which I'm super excited about. And it's not even a show. It's really a peek in that allows viewers to see men interact with each other in a way that we are not talking about necessarily cars, women, and sports, but life matters, matters of the heart, toxic masculinity. I mean, things that really matter that go beneath the surface that men generally don't talk about in an environment that is conducive for us all to feel comfortable and just have real conversations with each other. And we've already recorded an episode that is so powerful that I cannot wait for the world to see, because, you know, we have been conditioned not to share our feelings.
That's right.
We've been conditioned not to be emotional beings when we are as emotional being as our counterparts, as the women in our lives. But you know, we've been conditioned to believe that an expression of
especially
emotion
in our community
makes you soft.
Right.
And we don't understand that it really does take a big man to let the pain show. And it takes bigger man to let that pain go.
That's right. Wow.
Yeah. So we're shining the light on that. I'm very proud of it. And it's going to be coming very soon, maybe to a network near you. But, you know, we have been blessed with the opportunity to be a part of a new platform here called CLS TV, which is basically our own network. And,
really?
Yeah, and so which makes us responsible for the content that we supply, that we provide, and even that journey, this venture, which is a new facet of my career, is very interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we hope you'll come back and keep us informed right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're loving it.
I will, Carrie. I will, Carrie.
Amazing things. We just wish you nothing but big success. Big success out there to continue on that huge journey that you have started so many years ago, and just done some amazing things. And we're really proud, and I'm just honored to get an opportunity to have you on my show. So
Thank you. It's been my pleasure. It's really been my pleasure. I see some food that just came in, so I'm going to have to cut you off right here.
That's all right. Tony Terry, thank you. I hear you. Listen, enjoy.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your two feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now my very special guest with us is from the world of barbering. The Hair Radio Morning Show is proud to welcome Rick Borland. Rick, good morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Kerry. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. And it's great to have you with us. And I want to tell the folks, you know, barbering, we don't get a chance often to talk about barbering so much here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. But if there's, you know, and we're kind of ushering this in because you're being introduced to our amazing fans, and for many reasons that we're going to get into in just a bit. But I want you to tell the folks out there, where are you located, and a little bit about yourself, Rick.
I'm located in Mount Vernon, New York. I am a barber instructor. I'm a teacher. So I teach hair to high school students. I teach also future barbers on how to get their license, and I make sure that they have all the necessary tools they need and knowledge they need to take the New York State Barber Test so they can come and train with me here, where I tell them about things like, I teach them things about sanitation, straight razor, body positioning, all the things that they need, facial, everything that they need to pass the New York State Barber Exam. So I'm an educator as well as a celebrity barber, and I've been doing it for a pretty long time. It's just my joy. I love hair. I love how it makes people feel.
Well, I have to say, because, I was aware of, like, a lot of the cosmetology classes that they have in the high schools, but I was not as familiar with the barbering right here in my home state. So I love this. Can you tell us how this kind of, because I'm sure that I'm not alone out there, and that there may be some states where this is something that they may wish to as well start. So how did this whole thing come about for you in terms of becoming a barber instructor with the school?
Oh, well, what happened was there was a program at Rikers Island that I was teaching hair at. We were at Rikers, and we were doing a program for the inmates at Rikers, which
serious,
I partnered with.
Serious business. Wow.
Yeah, so it's you know, teaching in a prison, you know, is a little difficult. It can be, but you know what? When you empower people, especially our people, to you know, have a skill that can make them look better and feel better, and you know, you teach a man how to fish and not give him the fish, it does something for just their self esteem and their self awareness. What happened was the Rikers thing really wasn't the best choice, I would say. It was a good thing to do. And then what happened was, you know, the program for barbering came up and in a particular high school, and they wanted somebody that was homegrown. They wanted somebody that was licensed, experienced, and then somebody, more importantly, that knew not just barbering, but how to relate to our kids. And how to teach, and I've been teaching for years. That's one of the things I've been doing in my own barbershop, is taking, you know, young guys off the street, letting them sweep up, teaching them the business of barbering, teaching them the nuances, you know, all the nuances, and teaching them how not just to be the guy that's sitting there cutting hair, but just different hair textures. And a lot of my kids, a lot of my students have gone on and opened their own barbershops and stuff like that. So I took what I was doing in my community and made it something that we took to the high schools. So, the high school actually had a need for barbering because they students were saying, listen, it's, you know, I don't want to be a cosmetologist. You know, cosmetology, you know, they felt it like it was too feminine for some of the young high school kids there. And so the guys wanted something that was kind of in their scope. So they introduced barbering, and, you know, we've been at it for a few years, and it's been wonderful.
Well, I have to say, it's funny that you say that about the guys were saying, oh, it's this and that to, you know, enter into the cosmetology program. But I have to also say there's also a bigger argument there, too, that I remember, depending upon what state you're in, there was a while that, you know, in some places you were compelled to take the entire cosmetology course when you were interested in barbering. There was very little in barbering in that course at the time. So
it's really
interesting for me when you say that. I'm like, oh, my, I remember this kind of thing. So awesome.
Yeah.
What do you say? Go ahead, Rick. I'm sorry. What do you say to
this? You know, so, I mean, Terry, like, this is like a – I don't know how to put it in a – it's almost like there's some people that go to culinary school and they still can't cook. You know, like, you know, they can prep, you know what I mean?
Oh, Barbara, you got to send your letters to Rick now, okay? I've got to make sure I
said some. I said some. I love eating out. I think some, with all due respect to the people that do what they do,
right.
I just think that when you're in the game, when you're standing behind a chair, when you're in customers, you know, you're breathing it and in it and around it, it's a completely different animal than somebody teaching you just theory, you know? You know, so it's a different animal. You know, I teach, when we teach, one thing about hair, cosmetology or barbering, which is great, is that, you know, we can do the book, we can do the Milady's book, we can do all that other stuff,
mm-hmm.
watch videos and talk to other people, but for you to cut hair, you got to cut hair. You know, you got to be in it. You have to put some clippers and some shears, some comb. You got to do it. So, you know, it's like anything else. You can't box by watching a film. You got to actually get in the ring. You got to do what you got to do. So, it's the practical part of hair that is so fascinating. You know, that makes it great, especially for high school students. Students need to see their work. They need to see what they've built. If you're a sculptor, if you're a baker, if you're a chef, if you're a designer, you know, whatever you do, when you see that thing come together, it just gives you a sense of pride.
Well, Rick, my big thing is looking at it also with opportunities of entrepreneurship. This is where that class that you're teaching, where they can turn it into their own business, each one of those students. And that even could be a network. So yes, go ahead, Rick.
Sarah.
You know I'm so excited. But you go ahead.
So what happens is, just like high school, when I started cutting hair, I was 14. I was, 14? I think I was a freshman in high school, Mount Vernon High School. And
money earned
in
Mount Vernon.
That's
all
where I'm from.
About that.
I was a freshman in high school, and what happened was, the story is, I started cleaning up a barbershop when I was 14, and when I was 13, around 13 to 14, and around 14 to 15, I looked at some of the people working there who were not high school graduates, who were not college educated, and these guys had pockets full of money, and I thought, I can do this too. And I lied to my best friend, Don, shout out to Don Thomas. I lied to him, my good friend, and his father brought him to the barbershop 2 weeks later, and I cut his hair, and I never cleaned up again. So from 15 to now, and here's the thing that's crazy, Kerry, is that I have guys, and when we start our classes in September, I tell all of my students, I says, by the end of the month, you guys will be cutting each other's hair. And they're like, Mr. Borland, you're absolutely crazy. There's no way I'm letting them touch my hair. And by October, we got not only the people in our class, but we got half of the school that's looking in the door getting haircuts.
Wow.
You know, and here's the crazy part. Some of these high school guys are charging, you know, we're talking about 30 days of learning how to hold a clipper, how to bone structure, 30 days, 30 to 40, not even a full 30 days, and they're shaping each other up and wanting to get paid. you know, my students have gone on, shout out to Joel Cooper, who is, he's a point guard for, I think it's for Central Connecticut. He was one of my students, one of my first students, and he cuts the whole basketball team.
Yeah.
Miles Blyden, who's out here, he works in a barbershop. Got a host of our Dominican brothers, young sons that are they're cutting hair. Some of my African students, and here's the thing that's crazy, Kerry. My female students are some of the best you have ever seen. They're cutting their fathers, they're cutting their uncles. They have you know, we have a full barbershop in our high school, and a lot of our girl students are really doing their thing. So.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the entrepreneurship. It's immediate. You know, it's great. It's immediate. Hair always grows, so we'll always have a chance to cut it and make some money.
Now, Rick, I have to ask you, when you started out and the barbering industry, I think the better question, is it the same as it is now that it was when you started, or has there been significant changes along the way? Is there anything you can shed on that?
Here's the thing that with barbering that's changed. When I started 100 years ago, it was not that many barbershops, you know, so that was one. Two, there was a mentorship, like, so you had to pay your dues, and, you know, you're in the communication. You had to pay your dues. There was no such thing as you just walking off the street and picking up a pair of clippers. Like, for you to get in a barbershop, you either A, had to go to school and you know, have put some time in, or B, you had to take my route where you had to clean up hair, you had to go to the store, you had to learn the clippers, you had to do the orders, you had to intern, you had to work until you got a shot. And then your shot came from your friend, you know, your friend that said, hey, you know, can you think you can shape me up? You know, thank God for my father, my brothers, my brother Mike, all the people that, you know, you gave me my shot when I was starting out. And so the barbershop has changed. I think the industry is better than it's ever been, because now we got stuff like fill-in and man weaves and you know, there's different hairstyles and just different things that barbers can do that they weren't doing before. But then again, on the other side, I think it's cheapened. Because everybody who picks up a pair of clippers thinks they're a barber. So now you have barbers cutting hair at their homes. And then there's a certain price point that when the market is flooded, people don't understand the skill that's involved in cutting hair, because it just becomes, well, you just cut hair. No, I don't just cut hair. I'm not the guy that's in his basement that, you know, doesn't clean his clipper, that doesn't know what he's doing. You know, it's completely different. It's completely different.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you. What is the best way to describe it then? Because that sounds like a barber, a real barber, is A, B, or C, as opposed to just somebody, like you said, anybody picking up the clippers. Because I could pick up clippers, but let me tell you, you don't want to see me trying to shape myself up. Believe me. And we were left to our own devices in this past, you know, with the situation happening.
Yes,
out
you were.
So,
yes, we were.
So what makes a barber? What makes a good barber, shall we say?
Let me tell you something, and I'm going to tell you the number one thing that I teach my students, right, what makes a good counselor, right, what makes a good friend, is you have 70 to 80% of barbering is listening, mm-hmm. is listening to what the client wants. Let them tell you what they want, and it's transcribing what's inside their mind to your hand. 90%, I say 80% of this thing is listening, 20% is skill. So what makes a good barber is somebody that listens. What makes a good barber is somebody that is up on what the latest haircuts are, and somebody that knows their client, you know, somebody that knows. You know, some people say, you know what, I want to try this, that, and the other. But you have to say to them, do you really want to try X, Y, Z? And you would have to give them options and choices and talk to them before they make that commitment. So, and then somebody that is skillful enough to have that is that has the right tools and material and products, you know. So being a barber is listening and then being skillful enough to translate what they want and put it on their head, you know, and following the rules. So, you know, that's what it is. Like, what makes a good friend? Somebody that you can call and they're not just talking when you talk. They're like, Carrie, what's going on with you? Talk.
Exactly.
And that's what the bond is. And I think that's what the bond with barbering and club. Because we're not just barbers. Barbers are counselors, psychiatrists,
and in our
preachers.
Community, your dads quite often.
Dads, absolutely. Listen, I'm going to tell you something, Carrie. One time we had a single, we had a lady that went through a divorce. Husband walked out, and she was too proud to ask for any money, so we hired her sons for the whole week. Her sons were 11 and 12, 13, something like that, and we paid them over and above, you know, what they were, you know, and they swept up hair and went to the store, and we made sure that the mom got that money, so, and she came back and said that was how we ate for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Because of what you've done. So that's community. So that's what barbers are. Barbers are, we're not just a guy that makes your haircut or your fade looks good. We're the guys in the community. We've had clothes drives. We had, we fed the homeless. You know, we've partnered with churches. You know, we've done a lot. We've done a lot. We've partnered with other people in different faiths for our community. You know, and that's one thing about the barber club.
Well, and now you partner with Hair Radio. So we are so proud to have you, Rick Borland. We are so proud to have
you. Thank you so much, man. We're going to do great things.
Absolutely. Now, I want to first tell the folks a little bit about your shop. You are in New York. Please, again, remind everybody where you are and give us a little bit of a – we're going to give you a commercial. Tell us about your shop.
Well, we're here. He is Unisex in Mount Vernon, 414 East 3rd Street. We are a hair studio. We prefer appointments. We specialize in all kinds of hair, but our specialty, of course, is urban hair. We do all kinds of cuts. We practice social distancing. You can't be in the shop right now without, proper, protection. But we're a different kind of barbershop. We're not the hood barbershop. You know, our barbershop, we play...
We don't want to offend anybody with hood, the word hood.
No, we don't. We're not.
But we're going to keep it real.
You have all the barbershops in the hood for that. We're a grown man barbershop. You know, we're the family barbershop. We're the barbershop where your uncle and your grandmother can come, and we can be in conversation, and we can be on hair radio and talk. And nobody's offended by, you know, the music that's playing or the things that's on
the
TV.
Sometimes we've all been in those shops where the talk gets downright crazy. So do you control that to some degree there?
First of all, you know, I'm a man of faith, so and I believe that for you to be successful in business, you have to be successful. You have to appeal to more than one type of demographic,
uh-huh.
right? So, and I think that it doesn't matter with your, you know, what you do on your Sunday or your Saturday or whatever day,
right.
You know, you might, you know, you choose to be. But everybody wants to have a conversation where we can talk freely, but we can't be offensive. So one thing we don't do is we try not to, not even try not to, there is no tolerance. Thank you. There is no tolerance for profanity. We don't do profanity. We don't do illicit type of conversations. We can talk, but it's how we talk. So we do conversations where sometimes it gets really intense in here. And we let people be free, but it's respectful because we have all kind of people here. So this is not your average barbershop. It's not for everybody, but it is for everybody. But it's for people that want to have a family. They want a family, or they want to have a grown man conversation, or they don't want to have to curve their behavior, you know, because somebody walked in. The barbershop I grew up in, we all had real conversations, and you would talk to a CEO, you would talk to the bishop of a church, or you would talk to the guy that just got a record deal, and we can all sit here and talk and learn. So it's not the typical barbershop, but, you know, the haircuts are amazing, and, you know, that's what we do. That's the barbershop I like to be in.
Well, listen, if you've just joined us, You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, with me on the line is a gentleman who's in New York. His name is Rick Borland. He is a barber instructor, of course, a barbershop owner, and so many other things. You're an educator. We are just loving this. What about the man weaves? Now, I heard you mention it earlier. I kind of wanted to ask about it. What can you tell us what a man weave is? And is this new for barbershops to have to be doing man weaves?
Yeah, listen, so for years, our sisters, you know, God bless them, have had the privilege and opportunity to, if they had hair challenges, that they had stuff sewn in or glued in. And for the most part, you know, they made them feel great or, you know, gave them a chance for their hair to grow, whatever. And so what is our options for the brother that's going bald, you know, that doesn't want to be bald? Like, you're going light, you're getting thin, you start getting your late 30s, 40s, whatever it is, even 20s, 50s, and you're like, you know what? The middle of my hair is thinning or my front line hairline is going, and I still want to still have hair. What do we do? So, you know, we've seen through some inventions that there's the man weave, where, you know, it's a piece that's glued onto your hair, and it's, you know, your size is still there, and they fade it in, and it makes it look like you still have that hair you had when you was in high school and college, and very few people know.
Let me see if I can paint this picture. So it's kind of like somebody's kind of getting that donut look, you know, where the whole...
The George Jefferson,
kind of,
yeah.
You know, I remember that. Sherman Hemsley, I sat next to him at the Arsenio Hall Show way back in the old days, and I remember very, very well. We're both from Philadelphia, so we have a very close ties to George Jefferson. Yeah. But everybody calls it the George Jefferson. Like, I just realized that. That's funny to me. Everybody knows it as the George Jefferson, but yes. That would that be a good candidate? Would George himself have been a good candidate for the man weave?
Yeah, sure it is. But I mean, just imagine. So George Jefferson is probably in his 40s and 50s as a character, right? But imagine that you're 20, you know, or you're 30, you're a young 40, and you still want to, you know, you're still out on the market. You don't want to be the bald guy. You know, that's what the man weave is all about. It's about It's about putting hair back and still feeling, you know, like, you know, I mean, listen,
like
it's
relevant.
It's relevant,
relevant,
you know?
Yeah.
Right, sure.
Well, I'm loving it.
So
if you're going to talk about this and mention George Jefferson, I have to shout out Mr. Eric Monty. Eric Monty is a friend to the Hair Radio Morning Show. He was on our show. He created the character of George Jefferson. So I'm real excited. When I came back to radio, he was on our show and welcomed me back with this Hair Radio Morning Show. So he wrote Coolie High, What's Happening Now, What's Happening, all those wonderful shows, along with the gentleman from CBS. So real good stuff. So I've got to say, listen, Rick, we're about to really get this thing going. Now, you being with us here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, it's a big step for us. What can you tell the listeners of the Hair Radio Morning Show that you looked at, what you look to bring to the broadcast about barbering each week?
All right, so I've been around barbering well over 30 years, all right? So I've done everybody from Puff Daddy to Trey Songz to Usher to Malcolm Jamal Warner to Casey and JoJo, I'll Be Sure, Heavy D, the Manhattans are my group that I still service, you know. So I've got clothes designers, I got some NBA players, famous televangelists. I've done a lot of hair, but the most important people that I would say they're all important, but the most important people in hair are the people that come to your shop every day, the people that sit in your chair, the people who don't need you to close your shop down. The regular guy is the most important person. And the reason I say that is because those are the people that make our community. The other people do too, but those are the regular people. When you look at what you make and what you earn and who you touch, you don't always touch a celebrity, but you touch the guy that delivers the mail, that has a morning show, that's on the radio, that is a teacher,
you know, that's a
doctor, you know, that's the guy that's around the corner. You know, those are the guys that are the most important people, you know, in our community. So I'm a person that, you know, I try to touch all hands and I try to be that person that is everything to everyone that I can be. But I want the people to know that, listen, without them, without your listeners and without our customers, our everyday people, we would cease to exist.
Exactly.
So,
that's right.
That's one of the most important things I want to do. I want to bring the community back to the community, if that makes sense. I want to bring this barbering thing is all about community.
Absolutely.
So I'm trying to be that guy. I'm trying to be that guy.
You are that guy. Let me just be the first to tell you. And what I want to make sure that folks know how to reach you, I know on Instagram, I believe your Hair He Is on Instagram.
And yeah, Harry is on Instagram.
Yes, and that's really awesome, and I really appreciate that. And then also, they can always connect to you through the Hair Radio Morning Show. We have our own Salon TV Network app, and if you download the Salon TV Network app, it's in the Google Play Store. We're so excited because there is actually a little form there that says Ask a Barber. So if you have any questions that you want to get asked, that you want to get the answer to about barbering, you'll be able to connect with Rick, his amazing show right here on the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, we're going to say, and we'll get it answered for you. So, Rick, I just want to say thank you and welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Thanks for having me, Carrie. It's an honor and a privilege, man. You can have any barber in the world, but you chose me. So I am glad to be here. I'm glad to be connected to your listeners. Very awesome, and you're doing a great work. I'm just glad to be a part.
Awesome. Well, listen, I want to say thank you. And remember, folks, we're going to be bringing some of the latest in barbering. And, I mean, I have – it's like an entire world that we're kind of introducing our listeners to these days within the way of barbering. There's all kinds of equipment, and there's so many discussions that we're going to get into. It's going to be absolutely amazing. So please, folks, definitely tune in. We'll keep you informed when Rick's show is going to actually air. So, Rick Borland, I want to thank you again from Mount Vernon, New York. Thank you for being with us on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Thank you so much, Carrie. Thank you so much. Thank you. It was great talking to you.
All right. Well, folks, keep it right here. We're going to have a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
Listen every Tuesday morning at 8:30 Eastern to Vet Talk with Michael Hopkins right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show live. We're all about hair, beauty, and community. Catch the replays on Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern at our 24/7 hairradio.com network.
There's a well-known saying, home is where the heart is, and not just your heart, but your hair. Home Hair Solutions is an all-organic styling and conditioning product line that's available at SalonNiquelle.com. The HOME in Home Hair Solutions is an acronym. H is for hydration, O is for oil, M is for moisture, and E is for earth. It doesn't get much better than that. A complete line of cleansers and hair mounds that will keep your hair looking great and you feeling great about what you're using in your hair. Home Hair Solutions is the answer. Go to SalonNiquelle.com for more details. That's S-A-L-O-N, N like Nancy, I-Q-U-E-L.com.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Carrie Hines. We have with us a very special guest. Her name is Sakina Enzinga. Welcome to Hair Radio.
Thank you, Carrie. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, Sakina, I want to first of all, we certainly were going to talk about natural hair and the product line that you represent, New Ajay. But first, let's tell the folks a little bit about who you are.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here again, like I said. A little bit about who I am. I would say I am a beauty entrepreneur, a spokesperson for Nuit Day hair product line, and a healer of aspects, I'd say.
All right. Now, Nuit Day.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly is Nuit Day?
Nuit Day is a line of moisturizing hair oils that can be used for scalp treatments, hot oil treatments, oil rinses. You would use it for lock maintenance. There are different ways that you can use hair oil in that way, you know. But Nuit Day, it means new crown in Nigeria, Yoruba language. And new crown, meaning we would want people to associate their hair care as if they're taking care of a crown. And so that's why it's called Nuit Day in that way.
We love it. Now tell the folks, and we certainly have a whole lot to talk about today, but let's just let them know, if they're interested in buying Nuit Day or finding out more about Nuit Day products, how would you direct them?
You can find us online. We sell retail and wholesale at mynuitday.com.
Wonderful. Now, we want to tell everybody out there listening to you right now and listening to us that you will be coming to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. And we're excited to have you.
Yes, that is the most exciting news of the day. Yes, I will be coming to the Hair Radio Network.
Yes. Now, you bring with you a lot of direct experience, a true legacy and lineage in the natural hair world. Tell our listeners just what that means and who you really are.
Yes, I would say, yes, I do have a very rich lineage, I'd say. My mother was the first natural hair salon. She opened up the first natural hair salon in Brooklyn back in the 80s. I'd say she's written a book on natural hair care called No Lie, An African-American Woman's Guide to Natural Hair Care. And she's created this product line. She's also was very active in establishing the natural hair licensing in New York. So that's where I come from. I'm a daughter of a natural hair pioneer.
Let's give her a shout out.
Yes. To Talani Kennard. Hi. Hope you're listening.
I'm sure she is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we want to certainly, having that kind of, you know, legacy to continue, we want to talk to you, what does natural hair mean to you? Because times have really changed
mm-hmm.
along the way, and
yes.
And we certainly will talk about that, but what does natural hair mean to you?
Well, natural hair really is, yes, I would say that the definition has changed a bit, but I more so focus on healthy hair care. Mm-hmm. You know, I want people to kind of get away from saying the word natural in that sense, only because you don't want to get caught in saying that term and defining your hair care process. You know, you can be natural and use protective styles like braids and twists and locks to express yourself artistically, but is your hair healthy?
Mm.
That's more important, you know. So how are you caring for your hair is where I come from, you know, in terms of what kind of TLC are you giving yourself when you're taking care of your hair.
And what else would you suggest mm-hmm. When you, you know, as you were just saying, that you'd rather say the word healthy and
mm-hmm.
substitute that for natural, because natural now, is it being used a bit loosely for your taste? I mean, am I putting words in your mouth? What do you think about that?
Well, I would say, you know, the transition to wearing your hair natural back in the day was more so for Pan-African political reasons. Nowadays, people just want the education in terms of how they would wear their hair in its natural state. And a lot of people haven't seen their natural hair texture. You know, but it's more of a psychological trend and shift to understanding more about yourself.
Now, I have to. And folks out there, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Carrie Hines. We have a with us, actually live in the studio, Ms. Sakina Nzinga of New Aday, and we are happy to welcome her to Hair Radio in many ways.
Thank you. It's so exciting to be here. You know, this network is very needed in terms of establishing different topics about the hair industry and really highlighting stylists. You know, this is exciting. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. Now, we want to, speaking of coming to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, we want to tell the folks a little bit about what they can expect to hear when they tune into your show.
Well, my show, yes, my show.
Your show, yes.
This will be, I will really be highlighting styling techniques geared towards healthy hair care. And, you know, we'll definitely be sponsored by New Aday, which is a healthy hair care product line. But I would really like to talk about hair adornment and bridging the gaps in hair care, in black hair care. So not just natural hair, but, you know, people who use chemical styles as well, but really highlighting the artistic expression of what black hair care can do.
And what are some of the things it can do?
Well, you can twist it, braid it, weave it, perm it, cut it, color it. You know, but you want to highlight the proper techniques to do these things, you know, and really highlighting what healthy hair care is about.
Well stated. Mm-hmm. Well, again, if you've just joined us, we are just chatting live in the studio with Ms. Sakina Nzinga of New Aday, and soon to be on Hair Radio as one of our program hosts, sharing with you her wonderful lineage in the natural hair world, and also talking about healthy hair care and a little bit more. Let's go back to that.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think, we talked a little bit about, you know, from the transition from the old to the new, and speaking of transitions, we talked a little bit about, you know, for those folks out there who are transitioning from relaxed hair care, so to speak, or having a relaxed style into a natural hair state.
Mm-hmm.
How was that transition? What was that transition like for you?
Actually, I didn't necessarily have a transition.
Really?
I've been natural my whole life.
Really?
You know, I'm one of the original natural hair people, you know.
Wow.
I remember what it was like back in the day to not really be accepted socially for wearing my hair in its natural state. And now it's more accepted, you know, in terms of wearing my hair in its curly state or wearing braided hairstyles. Nowadays, I wear a style, I'd say a couple of times during the year where I'm wearing micro braids with beads, adornment, and I get a lot of reactions, you know, I get a lot of compliments about it. But when I used to wear these styles when I was younger, you know, I was teased a lot in school and, you know, I had thread wrapping and stuff. Now it's more appreciated, and I appreciate that good feedback now than what I experienced back in the day.
Wow.
So I would say that is a transition that I have seen over the years, that, you know, natural hairstyles or African-centered hairstyles are more accepted now than they were before. So that's my journey as in terms of highlighting what the transition is. But in terms of people transitioning nowadays, I would say that it's more of a psychological trend where people are accepting themselves as they are, you know, accepting their natural hair texture and learning more about it. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful experience to highlight and to talk about. You know?
In which they'll be able to do that right on your show.
Yes, they
coming
will.
Coming soon, yes. And so what we're going to do is keep you informed. We will certainly post it to the Hair Radio website and talk about it right here on the network.
Mm-hmm.
When you'll be launching, because we want everybody tuned in to what you have to say. Very interesting and some great topics to come. I took a little sneak peek. I'm excited to have you on the network. So.
Yes, indeed. You know, we really want to highlight hair adornment, protective styling, talking about what the definition of natural is. And if the term is still needed, you know, now that the industry has grown and we're becoming more accepted with curly hair, self-care definition or not, or, you know, braided hairstyles being more accepted and locking being more accepted. You know, is the term really needed anymore? Mm. You know, that is my question, and I'm sure it'll bring up a lot of controversy and people who want to talk about it more.
Yeah.
But also really highlighting the stylist, and I am very excited to have a show on the Hair Radio Network, you know, where we are highlighting stylists in the industry, because there are people that have taken their life dedicated to styling black hair, and we can do so much with it. It's so beautiful to be able to talk about all the things that can happen with our hair.
Well, we want to remind everyone, and certainly down the road we will be having the Hair Radio Awards that we will definitely, our panel will be looking at all of you guys who are on our network. So we also want to invite you guys out there listening right now, if you're in the hair business or the hair industry, and for those of you who are the hair enthusiasts, we want you as well to send us any questions that you may have or contact us. We're happy to share information with you, and this is a show, you know, that is, as Sakina was just saying, we're doing all of this wonderful stuff for you, the information that we are looking to impart.
Exactly. Our motto is to bridge the gaps.
Love
bridging
it.
The gaps in black hair care. You know, so we're not just talking to natural stylists, we're talking to traditional cosmetologists, we're talking to everyone. You know, to bridge the gaps in black hair care, to bridge the gaps in the hair industry, so that we can all be on the same page in terms of acknowledging healthy hair care practices, acknowledging where they come from, and practicing them more often. You know?
Now, you know what, Sakina, I would love to get your opinion on this. And this is just switching gears just a tad on natural hair and the entertainment world out there. You know, years ago, you really didn't see too many images of the celebrities with natural hairstyles. What's your take on that? Where do you see it now, or did you notice anything?
I am so excited to see them on all these networks and commercials and award ceremonies. You know, I think the most prevalent moment was when Viola Davis came out and accepted her award in a natural hairstyle. You know, of course, we have the neo-soul artists like Erykah Badu and Jill Scott, you know, that flip back and forth, but they show the versatility of the different styles that can be worn. I mean, Erykah Badu is not afraid to wear a straight hairstyle like Jill Scott, but then they'll also go back and forth between, you know, wearing an afro or braided hairstyle at the same time. I think it's beautiful. You know, you have Janelle Monáe, you have Chrisette Michelle, and even the men, you know, like Wale, his new video is out now. He has a wonderful lock style that's in the patterns that are in it. It's so beautiful. And I am excited to see what is to come. You know, we have Solange now that's wearing her hair in a natural state. And, you know, they'll say people will talk against Beyonce wearing a blonde weave and all of the other artists that wear the straight hair weave and stuff. But, you know, my motto is hair expressions, the way you want to wear your hair is an artistic expression. The question is, are the proper techniques being taken to wear your hair in that state? You know, are you abusing it? Because we have Naomi Campbell that wears her hair in weaves, but you've seen pictures of her where, you know, she's losing her hairline. Now, why is that? You know, because is that hairstyle that she was using, was that being abused? And what kind of message is that promoting? You know, I think that a lot of people have abused Eurocentric hairstyles because they're not used to understanding how to take care of their own hair texture. And I think that now that we have celebrities that are wearing different hairstyles and different options, that they're bringing more awareness to how many different styles can be worn and, you know, healthy hair care techniques that can be taken up in practice. So I am excited about this industry.
Yes, you will be sharing so much on your show. And again, guys out there, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Kerry Hines, and we've been chatting with Ms. Sakina Nzinga of New A Day. and soon to be right here on Hair Radio, the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, and some of the topics that are coming. Now, for the industry in general, mm-hmm. Sakina, what do you see in general for the natural hair world?
Well, I see that it is expanding rapidly, and I am really excited as to how it is expanding. I think there's more awareness than there ever has been before in terms of how to take care of curly, kinky, coily hair textures, and it's a beautiful thing, you know. But I think that there needs to be more awareness in terms of the stylists that are doing these styles every day, and we need to now establish curriculum in our hair schools. And so I think that it's good that there's more awareness and that it's growing, and I would like to see it continue to do so.
Well, before we let you go, we want to remind everybody about New Ade products and what makes them special.
Oh, New Ade, New Ade, which really means new crown, and we want to promote the motto of wearing your hair as if you have a crown on it. You know, how do you care for your hair in a healthy manner? You know, so we have a natural, quote-unquote, natural hair product line that has all natural ingredients. It can be used on all hair textures. And they're really just a line of oils. We have three different oils at different consistency based upon your hair texture. And there are six different ways that you can use it. You can use it as a moisturizing scalp oil. You can use it as a pre-poo hot oil treatment. You can do oil rinsing, deep conditioning treatments. You can use it as a lock maintenance style conditioner. And even natural heat protection when you're flat ironing and all of that. So the products are really great in that aspect because they have a lot of versatility, and it's really just oil, and we're going back to the original way that people used to take care of their hair in a natural way. You know, you want to use natural products. The products consist of peanut, olive, and castor oil as a base, and they are very supportive in that way. So you can find the products online at mynewade.com. That's M as in Mary, Y, N as in Nancy, UADE.com. You can find us on all of the social networks, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest. If you just search at Nuade. And, of course, on the New Hair Radio Network, you will also be able to find us. We are featured in a few salons around the country, and you can find out where those locations are at mynuade.com as well. Okay.
And on that note, I want to thank you for being with us, Sakina and Zynga of New Ade and Hair Radio.
It's been a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much for having me, and I look forward to having my own show. We're going to talk more.
Thank you. Stay with us.
The natural hair care and maintenance training being brought to you by Complete Beauty Solutions, where cosmetology meets healthy naturalism and everything in between. Now offering our half-off introductory special all summer long. So log on to cbeautysolutions.com to sign up. That's C, like complete, then beautysolutions.com. We'll also be on the number one hair radio show, so don't miss out.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines. Stay tuned.
Hey, fellas. Yeah, the ones with the beard. Do you want that beard tame? Do you want it shiny and well-groomed, not dusty or shaggy? Well, try this. Carapi Beard Oil. Amen. It's all natural. It stops breakage. It grows your beard and mustache. This even moisturizes your skin beneath. Did I mention that it smells amazing? Come on. I dare you to try it. You can find it with the Salon TV app or at Carapi.com. Did I mention that it smells amazing?
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, We had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our black community my life. The black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring black hair care back. There are great black hair care companies that exist, black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods, and black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, "Hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge," and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
The Hair Radio Morning Show is proud to honor the incredible achievements of Ms. Cicely Tyson. And from today forward, all of our in-studio live guests will wait here to go on the air in our newly minted Cicely Tyson Hair Radio Morning Show Green Room. Stay tuned.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. You are listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show, and yes, I'm Carrie Hines. It's September 15th of 2021. I have to double-check the date there. Big segment coming up right now, live on the show. This is, first of all, let me just say it's our show number 608. Show number 608. As we kind of march towards the new, up to show 700, I should say. And joining me also in just a few minutes, we have the cast is back from Vet Talk Radio. You guys know them. I'm so honored to have them. The show
leads off with Michael Hopkins and his angels. You guys, if you have not had a chance to tune in and catch them on Tuesday morning at 8:30, you'll be able to hear what they're all about. We're going to talk with them about some of the experiences they've had. And we're going to touch on, a lot of folks are still dealing with the 20th anniversary commemoration of the attack on America with September 11th. So we'll talk about a lot of just healing that needs to take place in this country. And for me personally as well. So I'll share all of that. A lot of folks have offered so much support. So I will talk about all of that in just a moment. Want to also say that, first of all, let me just say thank you to so many folks who have expressed condolences. I lost my brother Donald Hines probably about a week ago, about a week ago. And, you know, dealing with personal tragedy, I'm not one who, you know, posts, I'll talk about every single situation on Facebook under the sun about hair radio and business and, you know, being inspirational in so many ways. But I'm very reluctant. I'm not a person who just shares personal notes all the time. I really am a very private person, even though I'm a very public person and I'm all over the internet, which is true. And we are heard around the world, and we have followers and people who pay attention to us everywhere. And that's a wonderful thing. And yes, I've been in the newspapers and magazines and all that. But I'm a very private person. So when things like this happen, of course, I have my core friends. You know, I've had some interesting things that I'll probably ask the angels about and Michael Hopkins about you guys' experiences with some of this, because it's been very interesting. It's been eye-opening. But first, who was Donald Hines? Donald, my dear brother, was a little bit older than I am, several years, actually. I grew up in that same house as a child until I was about 15 with Donald. Then my mother and I, we moved to the suburban New Jersey, northern New Jersey, which is where I graduated from school. And Donald stayed in Philadelphia with my other sibling in the same house where I grew up. What's interesting, though, is that my brother, while he was a tough guy out on the streets of Philadelphia, he definitely was, he was kind of a person who was familiar with the ways of, you know, what they call the street ways out there. But he also had, I didn't know the street side, if you will. I knew it was a part of him, but I did not know that. I was also, again, much younger. But the thing was, my brother had the heart, he was as strong as he was and as tough as he was to the world, he was a very, very, he was a very kind person, that had a heart of gold and truly loved family. And I'm not saying just, you know, just like everybody says, they are, you know, big family. I love my family too, but not to the degree of Donald. Donald took it to a whole nother level. No, I love my family dearly, but he just, it had a certain resonation, I should say, with him. So there were things that, you know, that he exemplified that really set him apart. And so once I moved out at 15 to northern New Jersey, and he stayed in the inner city in Philadelphia, it kind of, you know, he was much older again, so he was kind of living his life up there, and I was growing up in New Jersey, and went on and did a whole bunch of other things. So we really didn't reconnect. Again, we always stayed in touch with family. You know family. You're going to always know how to reach your brothers and sisters. But we didn't really connect again until probably less than 10 years ago when I moved here in Brooklyn, this particular section of Brooklyn, New York. And then we bonded in many different ways. We had, of course, we're family. So it's easy to talk about family, but you know how they have that old saying that your friends become your family and your family become your friends? Well, that was absolutely true in the case with Donald. He certainly was someone who truly became my dear friend in so many ways. And so I wanted to have a special conversation on this morning about coping with loss. And I wanted to express my thank you to everybody again for their support. It's, you know, I'm not out of the woods, as they say, just yet. It's been a very tough thing to deal with. And I do want to say this personally. It's been a big challenge because I've dealt with a lot of loss. I'm probably only going to say this one time on this broadcast, so you'll never hear me talk like this again. But I've dealt with a lot of loss along the way, friends and parents. And, you know, I've lost, Donald was my fourth brother to actually lose. So, you know, I've been around this territory before. And so I've got to say with every single loss I've ever experienced, this has been very different. And each one has been very, very different for me. And so I wanted to speak with folks and find out, have you had to overcome things? Have you dealt with great loss? Have you had, it doesn't have to be a personal tragedy. Gosh, I wish no tragedies existed in this world. But, you know, so I wanted to find out from my fans, from our show hosts, from all of you guys, have you experienced any kind of personal loss or personal tragedy? I wanted to also say, in Donald's case, you know, he was not a baby. My brother had been fighting cancer for several years. This is not a secret. We've talked about it that part before. He went on with his life. I have never seen anybody who, if you didn't know he was fighting cancer, I didn't know what stage. He didn't reveal that, but it was. We knew it was very, very serious along the way. So we kind of, you have some idea, not preparation, but you have some idea that it wasn't going to end well. But he kept right on going. He really did. I would see him on occasion, and he was still going on. In fact, when he really took, his health took a turn for the worse, he was already out and about. So he just never stopped. I don't know how he did it all those years, but he did. And it got the best of him. But he stayed out there. And you cannot be angry if a person has lived from looking from the outside. He lived his life as well as anybody could live his life. He never stopped going. He went way more than I ever did. And I just have to say, for me personally, my takeaway from all of this is the wonderful way that, you know, he kind of taught me to cook. We bonded over that as well. So he really taught me how to pay attention to that and how to take my time and cook things. And so I will forever appreciate that. And in his honor, I will be creating a wonderful down-home cookbook, Down-Home Cooking with Donald cookbook. Which I had been longing to do a cookbook for years, but I will definitely put something together to honor him in that way. So I think that'll be forthcoming as soon as I can kind of get everything in my schedule. Have some great news for you guys, some uplifting news as well. So we'll talk about that coming up in just a bit. I'm going to see Smooth Black. I think we have him out there hanging in. I'm going to see if we can get him on with us as well at about 8:30 or so. So if he can kind of, you know, this is a you guys know Troy Ballard from the West Coast. He is hair extraordinaire, all around hairstylist. So I want to make that clear. He knows how to do all of that. We're going to see if we can get him on the line and give us some of those encouraging and spiritual words that I find so comforting under normal circumstances. So I'm going to ask him to kind of do something special today in honor of my dear brother. So I think he's standing by. We'll get him in just a moment. I want to take a moment and bring to the line some folks, again, the cast, the Vet Talk Radio Show. We did not have a chance to do a broadcast yesterday on Tuesday, so we're going to kind of get everybody in this morning. And I'm hoping you guys will stick with us a little bit, even into the 8:30 segment with Smooth Black. So let's get everybody on this morning, starting with the amazing gentleman who is the catalyst for creating Vet Talk radio show along with myself, is Michael Hopkins from Spotsylvania, Virginia. I'm also bringing to the line Nur Jahan out of Clarksville, Tennessee. We're also bringing the one and only Miss Katrina out of Paris, Texas, of course. And we are also talking about Nicole from Water Valley, Mississippi. So she knows I always tease her about her location. Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning, Carrie.
I think we just have about everybody on the line at this time. I wanted to kind of lead in on that. I don't know if you guys all heard. Oh, hold on. Let me just make sure we have everybody on. I think we do. 1 second. Okay. There we go. All right. So, yeah, I think you guys heard me when I was talking about, dealing with great loss. First of all, and I think we all have to some degree have had to overcome something. And for me, it's been through a lot of losses, obviously, and finding the strength. You know how they always say the person who smiles the most, you never know what lies behind that smile of that, you know, when you come across somebody, they're always smiling, always in a good mood. And you're like, man. Is this person, you know, every day, and you have no idea what lies behind their smile or kind words.
That's true.
It would be enough to knock you out, literally. So let's lead in with the one and only talk radio show host, the man who has been so instrumental in recent times in supporting the efforts of Hair Radio, the one and only Mr. Michael Hopkins. Michael, again, welcome to the broadcast, and good morning.
Good morning, Carrie, and thank you once again for this fine opportunity of you inviting us to the show. And all of us here at Vet Talk Radio, our hearts and everything else goes out to you, my brother. And we are here
to support you. Thank you.
Well,
I appreciate that. I really do. That means a lot. And I want to talk a little bit about that, too, because, they say, I just posted this as well, hard times will always reveal true friends. And I so believe that. Oh, boy, do I believe it. I have said in recent days that some friends have emerged, and some have submerged, if you know what I mean. Yes, indeed. Oh, boy. I'll be going through and making some serious updates to my Facebook and all my social media and all our things that we're doing. And, but I appreciate you guys. So let me just say that. So, Michael Hopkins, have you great loss?
Oh, yes. Yes, I have, Carrie. Back in 2016, I lost my mother, and it was Mother's Day, and she passed away in my arms.
Wow.
And the thing about it that I remember that so vividly is a lot of older people say they're going home, And, you know, different cultures say different things. I know a lot of time in the African-American culture, when a parent, a relative, somebody older saying, well, I'm going home, and it's equated to they know that they're going to pass away. And at the time, I really didn't think that much about what my mother was saying. But as you know, Carrie, I'm like you. And I don't know if anybody else kind of knows this. Carrie and I are both from Philadelphia.
Yes.
And we're both from Philadelphia. And the funny thing about it, just a little real quick thing here. He lived on one side of the street, and I lived on the other side of the street.
Yeah.
And that's another way him and I connected. Because we had a history. But what happened, my mother is from Philadelphia, and when she said, I'm going home, I thought she meant Philadelphia. I wasn't thinking on any other level. So when she said, oh, you know, I'm going home, I'm going home, and she just said it casually, and I was like, you know, Mom, we're not going to Philadelphia right now. And I knew it was something was wrong, because that Saturday, she normally has a pattern, a routine, because I was her caregiver. So I knew her routine. Her routine was she had to go to the bathroom several times. I would help her and all of that. Well, she didn't do that Saturday night. And I noticed and kind of in the back of my mind, I said, that's kind of strange. But, you know, life goes on, and you just keep kind of doing what you do. And then that Sunday morning, I remember distinctly, I woke her up, and I took her to the bathroom. She was losing her balance a little bit. She made it to the bathroom, came back. And then all of a sudden, she was sitting in the chair, and I noticed she was slumped over a little bit. And she was having a little bit of an issue breathing. And I kept saying, okay, this is not looking too good. So by the time we called the ambulance service, the EMS, and I was talking to her, and I was trying to see what was going on with her, and one thing led to another. And before I knew it, she had slumped over. Well, I've been in law enforcement, security, military, all of that kind of stuff. This is what part of my whole life, half of my life has been in all those type of things. So I know when somebody has passed away. And I knew right then and there, I said, yeah, she's passed away. But EMS, when they came in and they had to do the compression, they had to do all of that stuff to confirm that they did everything they could.
Wow.
And as I said, I've been in that position before and I understand. So before anything happened when they got there, I kind of flipped into my other mode of giving them a report.
Well, Michael, what I would love to know in a situation like that, that sounds awful and very difficult. How did you find the strength to pick up the pieces to go on after such a loss?
Well, basically what I did, Carrie, is I had to find something to do. So I went back to what I knew best, working in the security field, and it kind of took my mind off of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did. I went back
until
I did
it could be eased up a little bit.
Right. Stop me from remembering and doing all of that. And it kind of got to the point where the pain was eased. It never goes away. I mean, obviously it doesn't. But I learned how to cope with it.
And that's where I want to stop right there, because that's the word,
right?
Coping. And I think that's what I'm finding, that in where the strength is in dealing with my recent loss. But coping is the right way to look at it. And again, coming up shortly, we can get Troy Ballard on, who I know has some inspirational words to kind of help us during this time. The whole country is really kind of going through situations. We just kind of commemorated the 20th anniversary of September 11th.
the whole nation is still in mourning over that. But I want to turn to Michael. Thank you. Great story. Amazing. I want to turn to Miss Nicole. Nicole from Water Valley, Mississippi, I always say.
Yes.
What can you tell us? Have you ever had a challenging situation that you've had to overcome?
Most definitely. I have lost several family members over the years, but just like Michael, I've also lost I've lost my mother and my father, but the toughest for me has been my mom. In 2014, she passed unexpectedly, and that has been the most challenging thing for myself.
Wow.
You know, getting
how
over
did,
that, you
how
know,
did
that's
you,
mom. That,
yeah.
That's mom. So
that's
for
mom.
Me, my mom was a praying woman. So for me, the first thing I did was also pray and get in my Bible. My faith is my strength. So that's one thing that has definitely, the main thing that has carried me through. But my mom was a go-getter. She was a people person. She was an educator. She was involved in lots of different activities, organizations. And growing up, that's what I saw. And that's what I also did myself. So to honor her memory, I have focused on continuing that. She would not want me to be sad, be down, and I know that because my mom was full of life, and she would want that same thing for me to carry on her memory by doing that, by being full of life, being active, being a light like she was. And so
have you done just that, Nicole, with your life?
Yes, definitely, most definitely. Like Michael says, the pain doesn't go away. I think of her every day. You know, there's so many memories that I choose to focus on the positive memories, but the pain
Absolutely.
Is still there. The pain never goes away. But knowing that she wouldn't want me to be down and be out, she want me to be happy, she would want me to live. So I feel like she's living through me.
Absolutely.
So there's still
Absolutely.
A part of her. And something else that was devastating is because we shared the same birthday. So birthdays are not the same for me.
Tough. Yeah. Well, I want to talk about that too. And I certainly understand. And it just reminds me, for me, my siblings and my mom would always call on my birthday. So I had to get used to, not hearing that. Like, you
right.
literally would be expecting it. So that,
right.
I have to say, let me turn to Katrina. Katrina, you're down in Paris, Texas. I know you do a whole lot of work with children and all of that wonderful, good stuff. Can you share with us, anything that you've had to overcome, any challenging situation?
Yes, the most challenging one is losing my dad.
Oh.
And at that time, my oldest child I adopted. So my dad got a chance to be there for him, help raise him, help teach him, and everything. But at the time when he passed, I was 4.5 months pregnant with my daughter. We were actually would have been his first grandchild that he never got a chance to meet. But in honor of him, she carries his name. So his name was Julius. So her name is Julius Sierra.
Wow, that's beautiful. Does that help in some way when you're able to pass along and name, like you were able to name your daughter after him? Does that help in some way?
It eases the pain, and like with it being my his mom, my grandmama, she's still alive. She's 91. So I still get a chance to go over there with her every other day because she still works at age 91. But she doesn't make it, and I love her to death. And go sit and talk with her.
Wow.
So.
What a testament. That is amazing. Katrina, thank you, out of Paris, Texas. And if you're just kind of tuning in, we're talking this morning about overcoming great challenges. Also paying tribute to some of the folks we've kind of, have been in our lives and will now they're kind of in our hearts. We have another of the Vet Talk panel. One of Michael's angels to also reintroduce to you guys, Noor Jahan. Now, Noor, you are out of Clarksville, Tennessee. And good morning to you. Good morning, Noor.
Good morning, Carrie.
Yes, so how are you? And have you dealt with anything that you've had to overcome, any situation that's been tough in your life?
I have, and this is actually a hard show for me because I'm still actually dealing with the death of my dad. It'll be a year next month.
Oh, very sorry.
On his
birthday,
and his name was Donald. So while you were talking about your brother, you know, it just really hit home for me because it was the same name, and so every time I hear the word Donald, you know, it just
Wow. I understand.
So,
wow.
It's been rough, especially for Father's Day this year. It was, you know, the harder for me and my siblings. And we're still dealing with it. It's not really any closure right now because of the way things happen. And it was just so soon, not expected, you know, and we still don't have any answers. So it's a little different when it's not just a normal, you know,
and that's what I want to hear your whole story, and I want to make sure that folks, I never knew this, that there are different degrees in all of this, you know, and having gone through a myriad of losses, and each one being different, that I didn't even know that even existed. So please, tell us the story, please.
Well, it's actually kind of really hard to talk about because we didn't really know that he had passed. And to find out when we were looking for him, you know, it was devastating when we found out where he actually was. And I don't know what's the word to look for, to say because it's I'm on the air and, you know, kind of don't want to
say
too many details.
Right. Yeah. So we understand that. I have to just turn to ask you, how have you been, where is the strength coming from to continue? That's, you know, these losses and things have all kind of, you know, we've kind of been through them, but finding that courage to go on.
Mm-hmm.
How do you put that first foot, you know, just even thinking about going on to the next, you know, just making breakfast in the morning, you know, without breaking down type thing. How do you find that strength?
Well, my strength comes from God, you know, and then knowing the things that he used to always teach me about, you know, make sure you read the Bible before you leave the earth. And, you know, he's read it, you know, probably three times, and I still haven't, you know, gotten through the whole Bible, but, you know, in due time.
Make sure you read the Bible before you leave the earth. Make sure you read the Bible before you leave. Those are some words there. Listen, I have to say, Noor Jahan, Katrina, Nicole, Michael, the cast of Vet Talk Radio show that airs Tuesday mornings at 8:30. You guys, this has just been absolutely just riveting this morning and have you guys a part of this. I want you to stick around. We are going to bring on the line. I'm hoping he's standing by because we're just going to jump on in. I think he's been tuned in. You guys out there know him. He's from Southern California, one of the places I've lived. And I went out to live with Troy Ballard and his family out there in Southern California. We're going to, many, many, many decades ago, but we're going to bring him on to the line. Troy Ballard, I'm hoping you are there. I didn't get to chime in and give you a personal greeting this morning, but welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
All right. Good morning. Well, Troy Ballard, a.k.a. Smooth Black, you guys know him. He runs Smooth Black, Inc. out on the West Coast. He is an educator in the hair industry, representative for Laron Hair Systems and Laron Hair and all of that. He has his own Smooth Black line coming out and doing so much. You're up early because it's 3 hours difference out in Southern California. So just want to say good morning.
Well, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. It's still dark out there where you are, right? Or pretty close?
Yes, it is. And by the time the show, the sun will just be coming up.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for dialing in and being part of this morning. All right, Smooth Black, Troy Ballard, you've been listening to the broadcast. What can you share with us? And you always lead in. Troy's with us each Wednesday at 8:30, and you always lead off your show with some inspirational words. And boy, oh boy, in case you didn't know, we could use some inspirational words this morning. So what do you have to share? What would you like to say?
Well, first of all, my condolences to you and your loss.
Thank you.
I've been listening to the show, and you actually had me in tears this morning. I can attest to losing something. And, you know, again, my heart goes out to you and your family. And, you know, God is my source. He's my strength. And without him, I could do nothing. And on this morning, Carrie's like, well, words. Well, first of all, we got to know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So I thank God for Jesus this morning. And the most important thing I can tell anybody is to have a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the light. And without him, we could do nothing. You talked about that Bible this morning. It's your basic instructions before leaving earth. So the B-I-B-L-E. But like I said, read the Bible, not just reading, but, you know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So even when you read it out loud to yourself so you can get some revelation knowledge, and God begins to reveal the secrets to them that diligently seek him. So on this morning, you know, and I heard about your loss, and, you know, it gave me reflection about life. And, you know, as you know, as you read that word, it'll tell you life is but a vapor that soon vanishes away. And then we're all just sojourners here. This is not our home. Our home is over in glory, you know. And God's ministry of reconciliation. So he's going to reconcile all things unto himself. So if I can encourage anybody to know Jesus, it's to know peace. And it's a peace that surpasses all understanding. And it's what gives me my comfort, my strength, my joy, my hope. And every morning I get up, and I thank God for, you know, just seeing another day. You know, so many of us are leaving here, and a lot of questions I like to ask, because I am an ordained elder in the Church of God of Christ. And, you know, I'm a eulogy preacher, that's what they tell me. They get calls a lot to come and speak life over someone who has departed us. And I guess the greatest tragedy for me, if I had one, was the loss of my wife last year. So when you talked about your brother, immediately, I had a flashback to, you know, what had happened and what fired. And you were speaking this morning about overcoming and how do we persevere. And, you know,
absolutely,
God is my source and he's my strength. I recall that morning, February 15th, 3 a.m. in the morning, Gary, it was a nightmare. My wife got my office at 3 a.m. in the morning. She had a massive heart attack. And recall that, you know, this woman, God gave me 10 beautiful years with her. And on the morning that she passed, I had my friends and family come by. One of my friends, she said, "Troy, we need to pray." And I said to myself, "Well, this is my house, and I know the Lord. So if anybody going to pray this morning, I'll lead the prayer." And they all looked at me like, "Wow, we need to strengthen you. You just lost your wife." But my strength comes from the Lord. So the first thing that I began to pray, I thank God for the 10 years that he allowed me and gave me this beautiful woman. And one of my coworkers, she said, "Wow, Troy," she said, "I knew you were spiritual, but, you know, when you began to pray and you started thanking God, even in her death, and I was able to rejoice in knowing that she was a born-again mm-hmm. Christian, and she loved God, and I knew that to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. So I know I take God with me everywhere I go. So I know that in my heart, that's where God is. So to be absent in the body, I know she's with God. I know she's in peace. I know she's not going to, you know, worry no more. She don't have to deal with the cares of this world that we endure every day, you know. And thanking God for those years, and she gave me 2 beautiful children. And with that being said, Carrie, what motivates me now is that although I lost my wife, I didn't lose her because I'm a Christian and I know we'll be reunited one day in heaven. And my children, they're my source. They are my inspiration. When I look into my children's eyes, I see my wife. And it just puts a smile on my face when I see my daughter laughing. And my job now is to be the strength and try to do as much as I can to parent these children the way my wife would. So it just drives me to, you know, get up every morning, 5:45, get them ready for school, get them showered, dressed, fed, and get them out the house and get them to school and let them, you know, learn how to live in this world, but, you know, also instilling Jesus Christ in their life. So, you know, they go to Sunday school as well as going to regular school. So I'm instilling the word of God in them. And every day I get up, I just thank God that he gave me a chance to basically in my business, Gary, you know, I'm a servant.
Well, well, I have to say, Troy Ballard, I'm going to just jump on. In your children, the 2 youngest children that you were so blessed to have with your wife, I have to personally tell you, there have been very few conversations that I've had with Troy Ballard that I have not heard from the kids. Like, they would be in the background. We'd try to do interviews and talk and preparation and things for your book. And it's just, and they, I just love them. I think just being able to somehow, get to live through, what do they say, vicariously. So, you know, through listening to Troy Ballard talk with his kids and talk about things so inspirationally has resonated so very deeply with me. And so I so appreciate it. And there are very few times that if I talk with him that I don't want to hear or don't know what's children. I'm always asking. Sincerely from the heart. Yeah, it's a great thing. And, you know, so this means a lot to have him on this morning and to be sharing all of this with everybody that's going on. One of the reasons that this is so important that I wanted you to be here, Smooth Black, and to talk about this as well is because you are in the hair and beauty industry as well. So do you get a chance to, you know, when your clients are in your chair, do you get a chance to, we're going to say out here, we say witness to, to folks, do you get a chance to speak in some of these ways or do you not, talk, of any type of thing that's of God or the Bible? Do you get a chance, and how might they respond or have you ever done this? You know, I'm just curious.
Well, over the years, Gary, being that I'm a cosmetological entrepreneur and I'm self-employed in enables me to create an atmosphere that I want. So in my salon, you know, I play Christian music. I have a Christian atmosphere. When I have my salon, the first thing you seen on the door, I had John 3:16 over the top. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And I, on the door, before you reach in, I wanted the people to know that we do our best and God does the rest. So these are things that you see visibly when you come into the salon. So the atmosphere is being set, you know, because when women come, you're trying to create an environment that they can relax, you know, because me being a single parent, I know sometimes they're dealing with their children and everything, and going to the salon is a way to just get away and have some time for myself. And hopefully when they go visit a salon, they're getting a pampering experience where it can take away whatever's going on for that day. But being that, like I said, they talk about don't talk about church and state when you're going to beauty college. But being that I'm self-employed and I can create that atmosphere that I want, I never want to offend anybody because, you know, the word is free. And I try to share it every day. You know, because that's our calling, you know, to uplift somebody, to let them know that it's going to be okay. And being a cosmetologist, you know, we touch people every day. So I just try to create an atmosphere. You can come in and relax and, you know, and I just pray God if, you know, I have an ear to hear and I'm sensitive to people's feelings. So if you open the door for me to talk to you about Jesus, I'm going to pour into you. You know, because there are a lot of people that are non-believers, but yet and still I try to let my light so shine before men that they may see my good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. So it's just ways to do it, Carrie, and being that I can control my environment and I can, you know, just pump up Jesus, you know, push him out there with music and just creating an atmosphere, you know, that they can come in and be comfortable. Because dealing with our customers, you know, over the years you develop a relationship. And through the years, a lot of my customers have called on me to come and speak over their family or just do some inspirational words. Because, you know, being a minister of the gospel, my job through Christ is to, you know, help usher in Christ to someone else's life. You know, because if you don't know him, I'm gonna tell you about him because my life is a reflection of Jesus Christ. And every day I get up with, you know, hope and I expect things to happen, not just for me. I esteem others higher than myself, Carrie. It for me being a stylist, by the time I'm finished with my client, they don't have an idea of how much heart I put into my work because I'm an artist and I'm real sensitive about my work. So everything that I release out my chair to me is another ballad creation. But what it does for me is I get joy when I can turn my client to the mirror and they see their reflection and that smile and the confidence and everything that goes along with that experience that they had in my chair that day resonates, and they take that with them throughout the day. Some have came back, I got the job because of you. I said, no, you got the job because, you know, and I was just blessed to be a part of your experience, you know, because, you know, when they're professional, you know, they got to come to the stylist, the nails, you know, get groomed, and we participate in helping, you know, professional people look professional every day. So
Just blown away when I hear this, and I wanted to make sure that we work in Michael Hopkins, because the other reason I wanted to definitely have you on today, Smooth Black, a.k.a. Troy Ballard, was to reintroduce you. I think you guys met briefly on air or talked just very briefly once in the past, but I'm bringing back to the line Vet Talk host Michael Hopkins. To welcome you, we're going to make it happen today where you guys finally get a chance to greet and talk about some of the things. Vet Talk Radio Show airs, like I said, on Tuesday mornings at 8:30 right here as part of the Hair Radio Morning Show wheel. And Smooth Black is Wednesday mornings at 8:30. And today's a special broadcast. But Smooth Black, what do you say? Because I've talked with you many times about being in the military. And about, you know, did you use these, I don't know, I call it a special gift. I know there's a different way to talk about it and explain it, but have you used some of these gifts in the military? And tell us a little bit about your background in the military, and we'll see if Michael can relate.
Well, you know, I was honored to serve our country for 7 years right out of graduation.
Wow.
High school. 18 years old, I was in Garlstedt, Germany. Went to AIT.
Garlstedt.
Yeah, Garlstedt. You know, names like that, Garlstedt, Osterholz, Bremerhaven, Bremen. These are those.
Bremerhaven?
Yeah, I was up in Northern California, and the Air Force was stationed there, and that's where all the cars came.
Oh, my God. Kerry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh,
but
okay.
This is getting real deep here.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Mr. Smooth Black, tell me when you were there.
Uh-oh.
86, 87, 88, 89.
The reason why I'm laughing is because I was in Germany, and guess where I was in Germany from 83 to 86?
Where? Bremerhaven?
Bremerhaven, West Germany.
Oh, my God.
So I know where Lucius D. Clay Concern is.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Only someone that was stationed there would know that name, and they would know what Bremerhaven was. It was the port city, and that's where all the stuff came in.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yep, I was HAC 41 Infantry Mechanized.
We have to talk, brother. We really have to talk.
Interesting. Wow.
Yes, it is. This is a divine connection. For real,
yes.
Kerry. I had no idea that Brother Smooth Black was in the same place that I was when I was in the United States Army. I had no idea. Wow.
And
him and I have to talk. He's got to be on Vet Talk. There's no
We don't have to get him over to Vet Talk Radio.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
This
you
is amazing.
First,
well, it's a small world. It's a small world.
Yeah.
But and you're so Black, let me just remind everybody, in case you've just joined us, he's all the way out in California. He is 3,000 miles away, up early every week to talk to us, to inspire us, to give us tips, and of course, I say in hair and beauty, but it goes much deeper than that. And he does it every single week, and we're so excited to have him and welcome him. And he has an extensive brand out there. And in fact, I didn't get to share. We're going to talk more about this in the weeks to come, but yesterday, let me just turn for one quick second. I had an opportunity to line up where we will be able to usher in a special workshop. So we're not having the big show just yet because of all these other things going on, but we will be offering some special workshops. We'll be talking about that in some upcoming weeks. So we haven't abandoned the hair and beauty folks. We'll be talking about a lot of that. And also we'll, of course, have the 24-hour network back up. We have been running like 12 hours each day type thing, and we'll, you know, kind of get that all firmed up and make some big announcements as we move along this way. But Smooth Black, I've just got to say, I don't know how to even weigh in with this. You know, like I said, you inspire us. You encourage us. I can only, you know, imagine being sitting in the chair, you know, just being in the shop, I have to tell you. And I know him very well. It's been many, many, many years. But, and I remember this, you always had this certain light, you know, and I've told him this is not a secret. He's always had a certain light and just very likable person, Smooth Black. Troy Ballard, everybody just loves you. You attract people to you, whether you're aware of it or not. And I just, as a youngster, I was just in awe. You know, I was the total opposite. I was always like a nerdy, bookwormish type, if you can imagine, I didn't have glasses at that time, but certainly I the total opposite, was not into anything sports related, didn't know the difference between a football and a basketball pretty much as a kid. But you were the king on, you know, I called the big man on campus, the big man on the hill, if you will. And I just thought it was amazing. But you were always down to earth. And you welcomed me and greeted me and treated me kindly. And I was, it was almost like the other way around, where you get a, you know, have your little kid brother hanging on and sticking around. And you make me never feel that way. And even though I'm the older one. You know, but I never felt that way. And I just so, it has always just meant something to me. So I'm, you know, I may have told you before, but I wanted to make sure that you were aware and all the folks who tune in.
Good,
know the deal.
You
got it. Now, Smooth Black, can you lead us? You always give us some, and you give us encouraging words coming in, and you give us encouraging words going out. And before we do that, I just want to thank Michael of Vet Talk Radio. We'll see you on Tuesday, Michael Hopkins. Thank you for being on this special broadcast. And we'll see you on Tuesday at 8:30.
All right.
Noor, yes, Noor Jahan, thank you as well. Katrina, thank you. Nicole, we'll see you guys back here on Tuesday for the next edition and installment of Vet Talk. Troy Ballard, please go ahead, give us some encouraging words to lead out our week. And like I said, this is it's been a very tough time for me and for my family, particularly, and for all of the country. We've been dealing and reeling from things. I can honestly say it's gotten just a little bit lighter. This has been cathartic in sharing with you guys. And talking a little bit about it, it has helped. It just makes it a little bit easier. I don't know if that makes sense, if that's the right word, but yeah, I think you know what I mean. Troy Ballard, take it away.
Well, just like that morning coffee that you're sharing, you're getting us up every morning and
yes,
get words of inspiration and encouragement that we may persevere in these times. Now, God keeps speaking in my heart is the word humility. If we would learn to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, he will exalt us. Meaning that, you know, we have to learn to esteem others higher than ourselves. When you can honestly and sincerely in your heart just love genuinely as Christ loved the church and he gave his life for him. So in life today, we have to learn that, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And one thing I had to learn was to continue to do unto others that the way I wanted to be treated. They may not treat you the way, but be not weary in well-doing. You know, continue to love, continue in spite of, you know, we don't overcome evil by being evil. We overcome evil by being good. So I've tried to find people that may not like me, and I try to find a way to win their like, you know, because I know Carrie loves me, but Michelle, she may not like me. So my thing is for Michelle to try to develop a relationship to where she can feel the love that I have for her, and then we can come together in unity and peace and harmony and work together. So on this morning, I just thank God for an opportunity to share his word, that his word is the way, the truth, and the light. And we need thee, O God, in these times right now with so much going on. So, God, I just pray by your spirit that you would just loose your peace and love and comfort this country in our times of need. We pray for our president and all the high officials that are making decisions that concerning our lives, Father, with this pandemic, Lord. I ask that you would just, Lord, have thine own way. You know what's going on in this country, Father. You know what we need. And, Father, we just learn to lean and depend and trust you, God, through it all, knowing that all things are working together for the good to them who love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose. Now, Father, I thank you for the time to just share your word this morning, God. I pray for the Hair and Radio Nation, God, to continue. Pray for Carrie Hines, Lord, that you would bless him spiritually, physically, financially, Lord, and let this show continue to reach, let his broadcast go further than he can even imagine, Lord. And, Father, we'll be so careful to give your name all the praise and all the glory. And I ask these things in Jesus' name, that each one of us have a great day. And remember, put a smile on somebody's face. God loves you, and so do I. Thank you, Carrie.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. All right, Smooth Black. Troy Ballard, we'll see you back here next week at 8:30 for another edition with Smooth Black. And for Vet Talk Tuesdays at 8:30, I will be back in the morning for show number 609 tomorrow on Thursday, the 16th of September of 2021. Special guest is Sam Enon from BOBSA. We'll talk to him live at about 8 o'clock tomorrow. Listen, thanks to all the guests today, and again, Smooth Black, thanks for being with us, and Troy Ballard, great and inspirational words. We'll go ahead and get our outro started. Again, thank you. Making an awesome, awesome Wednesday. It's been really great to have you guys with us. Really good thing. Yes. All right, folks.